Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Months into the pandemic, many of America's essential workers are feeling worn out and left out. Lawmakers have yet to pass hazard pay for frontline jobs during the pandemic, and a lot of workers are now earning less than they would from unemployment benefits. NPR's Alina Selyuk explains.
A strange thing happened this spring. As coworkers began to get sick, essential worker Yudelka Lavigna took an unpaid leave of absence. When she got her unemployment benefits, she realized something unheard of. She was making more money not working.
Oh my God, I was like, can I just do this forever? Like, do I have to go back to work? It was a big relief having those checks.
Those checks were boosted with special pandemic pay that Congress rushed to pass. It added $600 a week to regular unemployment insurance, which is usually less than that and varies by state. Lavigna works at a New York call center for essential services and back on the job, but with work still extra slow, her paycheck now feels discouragingly short.
There's a lot that's going on with this virus that just kind of opens your eyes to how it really is, because you feel like you guys never have money for people that really need it, and all of a sudden you have money for everybody. But then the people that are still, you know, essentially working don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Lawmakers in Congress have so far failed to pass measures that would increase pay for essential workers during the pandemic. Some companies did create hazard pay, or so-called hero pay, often around $2 extra an hour, and most have now stopped it. And so those boosted $600 unemployment checks have created a bizarre distortion in the labor market, where holding on to a job, even working the front lines of a health crisis, doesn't guarantee being financially better off. It's a stark reminder of how much of a difference that kind of money can make to millions of working families.
So I was honestly astonished by $600 a week because it was so generous compared to what I'm used to looking at.
Liz Ananat studies U.S. poverty as an economics professor at Barnard College. Research has begun to show that the pandemic aid brought a critical lifeline to low-income homes, keeping many from poverty. But Ananat's work also suggests roughly half of the unemployed are still waiting for that relief, and the pandemic boost ends this month. The essential workers I talk to know the situation is messy.
I'm not angry at anyone receiving that. I can't be angry because you have to still feed your family.
Sandra Ellington is a custodial worker at the Cleveland Hopkins International Airport in Ohio. She says she's also not mad that she didn't get the option to stay home. She knows her job is important and has found a way to commute to work and keep the airport clean as safely as possible. But her life has changed. She's couponing more because groceries are more expensive. And she misses spending time with her mom, who's 70. She used to come over for a cup of coffee on the porch a few times a week, but had to stop.
I've seen her from the car. I go to the store for her. We put her stuff on the steps. She's like, well, okay, I love you. I'm like, I love you too. No hugging.
Among people like Ellington, who were asked to keep leaving their home to go to work during the pandemic, a new survey by the Economic Policy Institute found less than a third received any extra pay or benefits. As coronavirus cases persist, these workers have flooded social media with calls for premium pay.
Seeing, you know, the people on unemployment that are getting basically what I'm taking home every 2 weeks.
Lisa Cianci is a medical secretary near Boston who's been working 12-hour overnight shifts at an emergency room. She's a prominent voice of a Facebook group called Give Essential Workers Essential Pay. It drew almost 4,000 members in a matter of weeks. Cashiers and bus drivers, paramedics and sanitation workers, welders and machinists. They post pictures of the thank you gifts their companies sent them. Hats, bracelets, t-shirts, and gift cards. Cianci says her dad recently heard her sounding stressed on the phone and told her she should really take a vacation.
It's very frustrating, and I'm angry. I'm psychologically, mentally, emotionally, I'm like spent, and I feel like I'm not the same person.
She's hopeful that lawmakers will pass some kind of hazard pay for essential workers. She says she wishes they'd finally come out and show we haven't forgotten you. Alina Selyuk, NPR News.
Today we're sharing how to cope with a situation that, while common, many don't like to talk about, being laid off. The number of unemployed people is up by 15.2 million since February, related to the effects of the pandemic and efforts to contain it, and that's according to the Department of Labor. So if you fall in this category, you are not alone. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you dealt with being laid off? How have you dealt with being laid off? How are you coping? What advice would you give to others who've been laid off, if you've been laid off and you made it through to the other side? Joining us now to talk about this is Holly Epstein Ojalvo. She recently wrote an article called How to Manage the Emotional Impact of Getting Laid Off. It was in the New York Times. Holly, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. You know, this layoff, you know, by definition, they're supposed to be for business reasons. And we all know this intellectually, but why do they feel so personal?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They absolutely do feel very personal. They can hit you very, very hard emotionally, and even feel like a period of grieving. For many people, their identity is very tied to their work and their job. And to lose a job can feel like a loss, and it can feel like a personal failure. You can feel feelings like shame and anger. And fear about the future. You can feel helpless. You can start to feel useless. So, you know, all of those feelings can swirl around and really hit you hard.
Not to get you personal, I will tell you, I have been laid off in my career. Have you been laid off in your career?
Yes, I have. And I talked about it in an article. And that was hard, too. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know how you feel about it, but it can be hard to come out, so to speak, as having been laid off.
You know, there's a statistic, and it's pretty humbling, that 40% of American workers have been laid off at least once in their lifetime. So when we think about the statistic, how should someone think about the statistic who's just recently been laid off? How should it change, how could it change the way they think about the situation?
Yeah, that's a really important question because, as you said, it's very common, but it also has a stigma attached to it. And one thing I'm really hoping is going to happen as a result of so many people being laid off during the pandemic, is that stigma will be lessened. This is the perfect storm. It's a pandemic, it's an economic recession, and then there's like your own personal place that you're playing in that. And I'm really hoping that the stigma will be lessened and that people will feel much more comfortable, being open about being laid off and about, you know, that being a blip in their career and it'll be much easier to connect with people about that.
All right. So you've mentioned grieving, Holly. What is a way to grieve the loss of your job that doesn't turn destructive or personally destructive?
Yeah, that is very important because there's a fine line between feeling your feelings and letting yourself feel your feelings and not pushing them down on one side. And then on the other side, you know, wallowing and letting it, you know, take you over and getting too deep into those feelings. And I think that can be very hard to manage. In the article, I quoted a few experts who really talked about how important it is to really be on top of your mental game and to frame your story and frame your narrative in a way that feels real, but also doesn't just feed into the negativity.
Let's go to line two. Derek is calling us from Brooklyn. Hey, Derek, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's going on in your world, Derek?
I work at a small brewery in Queens, or I guess I did. I guess we're kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't here, because our owners are trying to bring people back and trying to create jobs for us. But, there's all this concern that if we do reopen, A, what kind of customers are going to come out, like the most irresponsible people. And then, you know, having more staff in the building just makes it, you know, more likely that we might contract. So, you know, we all want to get back to work, but it's creating just an extraordinary amount of anxiety trying to navigate the fact that it's probably not safe yet.
You bring up a really good point, Derek. Have you ever been laid off before, Derek?
I have not. I've bounced around plenty as bartenders tend to, but yeah, never like this. There's always work for us.
What are you going to do? Have you figured out what you're going to do during this time that you've been laid off?
I mean, I've seen some jobs pop up and I've considered applying for things, but then I look into it and the way I see it is if people are expanding anything right now or hiring outside of their own staff, that probably means they're going in a direction that's not going to feel particularly responsible. I think that's what's really made it painful. And I mean, unemployment's only going to last for so long, so we're going to have to find something to do.
Derek, good luck to you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for calling in and being so candid.
How do you know when you've been grieving too long? When is the moment when you need to move on to the next phase?
That's interesting because I'm not sure it's definitely linear. I think for some people, it comes and goes. You know, people have their moments. Some people describe it in terms of days, like I have bad days, I have good days. Some people describe it in terms of hours, like this hour I feel okay, this hour I don't feel okay. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really important is to find healthy outlets for your feelings. So like, for example, I mean, you talked about getting personal before. You know, when I've had low moments, I make sure I get out, I go exercise, I do something that feels productive. And that can really be a little bit of a boost and that can help. And then anything that's inside of your control, you know, what Derek was really talking about when I was listening to him, it sounded like he was talking about a lot that's out of our control. There are a lot of questions about when can I come back and will it be safe? So to do anything that's in your control can really help manage the emotional part too.
You know, a lot of people, self-deprecation is a part of it, or having self-doubt. And they can kind of cope with it in a sense of humor, like, oh, I guess I, you know, took too many jelly beans out of the bowl, whatever. When does self-deprecation about being laid off become, I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but maybe problematic?
Yeah, it can definitely be harmful. If you're kicking yourself when you're down, it's already really difficult. You're coping with a lot. And then if you're laying on yourself on top of that, it's really hard. And especially if you suffer from imposter syndrome, if you already had the feeling that maybe you weren't as good as you seemed and that you're just waiting to get found out, it can really worsen the effects of a layoff in two ways. The one is it can really amplify any kind of self-doubt that you have and your self-criticism. And that can be actually very psychologically harmful. And then the second way is it can hamper your effort to move forward, to do things like find work, because studies show that people who suffer from imposter syndrome and who do kick themselves when they're down and are hard on themselves can self-sabotage. So you, even if you're excited about a job opportunity or, you know, there's something interesting going on, you sometimes stop yourself because all that self-doubt creeps in. So it really can pack like a 1-2 punch.
Someone who sent me a message on Instagram, first of all, thank you, and yes, you can remain anonymous, says, some serious layoffs planned for the New York City arts organization I work at next week. First-time layoff, the arts are an incredibly rocky place. It will require comprehensive restructuring at all levels. Let's go to line one. Diane is calling in from Queens. Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, thank you. I love the show.
Thanks. So I see you've been laid off before, right?
Yeah, I was laid off in March of 2019. I was a magazine editor for 30 years, and my division was eliminated, so my whole group was laid off, and all of us were over 50. So it was really difficult trying to find work. But what I told you, screener, what I did, and what I recommend to anybody this happens to is talk to people. Tell everybody you know, from the barista at Starbucks to your Pilates teacher, to just everybody. Tell everybody you know, because I landed a great part-time job. It was an administrative job at a finance firm for 10 months because I talked to my Pilates instructor, and her husband's company gave me a shot and hired me so I could improve my admin skills. And that led to a full-time job that I started during the pandemic, which I still have. They just put me on full-time staff.
Diane, such great advice. Thank you so much for sharing your personal story. I hope it really helps somebody
sure.
out. You know, Holly, it's interesting. I was wondering about this idea of keeping in touch with people back at your job. You know, I thought, oh, that might be a really good idea. And then there's also that idea of, like, you know, when you break up with somebody and then you start calling your ex-boyfriend's best friend just to check in. You know, are you picking at a scab if you do that? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a pretty funny analogy, Allison. Yeah, I mean, it can be awkward, and it can also be helpful. You know, when I just got laid off in May, I got laid off along with 40% of the company. And it's been really helpful for us to be in contact with each other. Mm-hmm. We've been commiserating. We've been sharing job opportunities. We've been helping each other. You know, I was leading hiring there, so I've been helping everyone with their resumes and their cover letters and doing some coaching on the phone for, you know, pre-interview, stuff like that. So I've been really keeping busy helping people, and they've been helping each other too. That's been really, nice because we're sort of staying colleagues, and that's helpful. And then I've even talked to a few people who are still there because, you know, as your caller just said, you know, you never know. You might mention something to someone. It could be a former colleague. It could be your Pilates instructor. It could be, you know, the friend of a friend. And somehow that leads to something positive for you. So, you know, definitely consider your former colleagues.
Only on NBC Bay Area, accusations of racism within the Redwood City Fire Department. An African-American firefighter has filed a lawsuit against the department claiming he's been harassed, ostracized, and sent sexually explicit pictures. And he believes it's because of his race. NBC Bay Area show Heard says he's going public tonight because he wants justice.
I was harassed continuously because of my ethnic background as an African-American immigrant.
Redwood City firefighter Joseph Etchema says that shocked him because he joined the department 10 years ago to protect and serve his community. His thanks, he says, has been harassment.
I even had a supervisor ask why he can use the N-word, whereas he sees other black people using the N-word.
For the past several years, Etchema claims he's been the recipient of vile racial jokes and offensive effigies and sent pictures we can't even show on TV.
I had a captain, a supervisor, tell me that, you know, the Black Lives Matter protesters needed to be shot.
His lawyer filed a lawsuit against the fire department and two of Etchema's superiors, claiming racial discrimination.
So they can acknowledge that, yes, Mr. Etchema received a text message that had a racial slur, because they can't deny it. It's undeniable. Here's the text message. But what they can deny, and they can act as if it doesn't exist, is the overall climate that he's dealing with.
We reached out to a number of city officials and attorneys for the fire department and got this response from the city attorney. She says, in part, we cannot comment on a case in litigation. We are also committed to learning from one another as we work to strengthen the city's commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion within all city departments. Etchema says that hasn't been his experience, and that's why he's going to court.
I know that the nation is captivated by everything that went on with George Floyd and police brutality, but a lot of the same racial sentiments that are institutionalized in the police department are also embedded in the fire department.
In Redwood City, Cheryl Hurd, NBC Bay Area News.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade. In for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, July 3, 2020, so I have been told. We'll have a lot of reports about white people brandishing firearms, threatening black people. Lots and lots of reports about that tomorrow. Snuck one in early. Really? That just further evidences what I had already concluded, but slipped one in early. Firefighter says, not retired firefighter, but suspected race soldier, firefighter says, the Black Lives Matter protesters should be shot. Apparently, many white people agree with them because that is just what they did this week. In fact, they just generalized sometimes. Black Lives Matter, you have me at black. They should be shot. Absolutely. All of them. This year is neutralizing workplace racism, where apparently firearms are still a problem. We will attempt to offer codification, help to solve problems without creating new problems in the workplace. Certainly, keeping in mind that we might have to make like extraordinary modifications to our code because of the health crisis worldwide. They are doing closing back down in some areas. I know here in Washington State and many others, it's now required statewide, governor mandated. Here in Washington State, you have to have a face mask or covering out in public if you're going to go anywhere. And in fact, I think it's gotten stricter that you cannot enter any sort of public establishment if you don't have a face mask, that can be grounds for denying you. And in fact, I think they're supposed to deny you entry. I don't think I saw anybody out and about when I went to the store today, and that just went into effect this week, I believe. I don't think I saw anyone who did not have on a face mask. So constant adjustments for the workplace. We talked about a little bit of that last week. They're talking about maybe permanently working from home in some areas. So I am certain that might require some additional tweaks to how we operate in the workplace. Again, I can only emphasize black self-respect, I think, is all about self-care and really prioritizing your safety. You really have to be the one that's responsible for that. They're not going to be thinking, you know, do you have adequate hand sanitizer? Do you have adequate space? Do we have enough hand washing stations? Do we have enough masks, gloves, you know, whatever other equipment we might need? You might have to be the one, because you might even have other coworkers. They might not be taking it seriously. I think we talked to some folks where that is the case. That might be the black self-respect, just speaking up, you know, to make sure that you are as safe as possible under these conditions, if you're having to actually go into a physical workstation. Anywho, this is, again, our open forum, the number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Remind folks, this broadcast not for spectators, particularly under these historic conditions. If you have any sort of codification questions that are helpful in getting your employer to be more responsible about the COVID-19 situation, or if you have figured out some cool things, if you have ran some experiments, and since there's been a lot of tacky dialogue about racism and some of these different conversations and things, and employers saying, "Oh yeah, take it seriously. You know, we appreciate the NIGRA. We're going to talk about this and that sort of thing." If you've taken, you know, advantage to ask for questions, things that would be a constructive improvement for you, your work environment, if that worked out well, bravo. If they have done any of these sort of tacky conversations and things, as I said, I would love to hear, what did they talk about? Did they give a definition for racism? Did they make any proposals for changes, improvements to make sure that they are looking out for the non-white employees? Definitely, you got to call in if they gave out copies of, like, you know, Mr. Fuller's work or Dr. Kamba and anything like that. You know, got to hear about all that news immediately. Let's see. Oh, the number. Forgot, if you, since this is not for spectators, if you have suggestions, problems that you would like to share and you cannot call in or don't want to be identified, that type of thing, you can email untiljustice@gmail.com and we can read your commentary anonymously. That way you don't have to, you know, be concerned about being identified, and you can still contribute. If there is a problem that you would like us to maybe try to pitch in a few counter-racist suggestions, and or if you have suggestions, some things that have worked out well for you in your work environment, untiljustice@gmail.com, and we can share your thoughts on the broadcast. All of that said, The report with the firefighter reporting racism, white supremacy, I believe he played in the NFL, so he's got, like, lots of experience with regards to racism, white supremacy. Anyway, so he said that they sent him sexually explicit content. I was reminded of the Man-Not, Delectable Negro, all of that filed immediately. Immediately. That's why I wouldn't participate in any sort of jokes and what have you. Nothing, because it'll get to that level quickly. It'll start out being G-rated, as they say. You know, why did the chicken cross the road? That type of thing. And then we end up with that. It is, whoa, if you go to report it, hey, we just clown around, you know, a little tomfoolery. We horse around in the firehouse. What are you talking about? We've been joking all the time. What's wrong with you? You're so sensitive. What's wrong with I would not participate in any of that. They'll just have to, you're such a wet blanket. Such a prude. You know, always such a killjoy. You just mess over our good time. We can't even have fun. But have all the fun that you want. I will not participate. I don't do any of the jokes, giggles, none of that, because so consistently, and it seems especially with the fire department, he gets there quickly, so might end up with a penis on my head. Who knows? Forget all of that. I'm not surprised. Have a code, and in fact, it should be, if you're going into the fire department, like, oof, I'm expecting something improper. Remember, I played it. They had to make PSA videos and video content to ask kindly, please do not place urine in your fellow firefighter's helmet or beverage. And just to make sure, this is not Gus T up here being a coon and he likes to clown. No. They made PSA videos. This is on This American Life 2019. It is a 1 hour segment all about racism in the fire department. It starts out with a video PSA. Please do not place urine in your fellow firefighter's helmet or beverage. Apparently, this was not a one-time thing. Right on for the fire department. All right, so that was one. They had the longer segment about being laid off. And I felt some type of way about that segment because it's audio, so I didn't get to see the folks, but I believe these are white people, or at least the person being interviewed is not classified as black. Hearing white people and they're talking about their Pilates instructor and all the rest of it, like, being laid off, if you are classified as white, is substantially different than being laid off if you are classified as black. Substantially different. I don't think many of the folks classified as black are going to have a Pilates instructor to go and gripe and whine about their being furloughed. I don't think. I guess you all can set me straight. If you all have memberships at your local Pilates club, then make sure you call in and set Gus T right. Pilates classes can be expensive. They have a lot of them here in Seattle because they have a lot of white people and few Negroes. That said, I did think it was important because so many people have been laid off, furloughed, all the rest of it, particularly black people, non-white people. I do think that that is important. The sharing aspect, even though I don't think a lot of us will have Pilates instructors, although we do know one yoga instructor to share, but that sharing, networking is constructive. I have seen that from Cal's listeners repeatedly. We don't have the same strength and resources in the network, but there's still a network, so I would still be trying to talk, share with other folks. That can be super helpful. They might have other resources. Black people that I literally know, that's how they ended up getting resources for other jobs and opportunities that were constructive. Just chatting it up. Even if it's chatting it up to gripe that your hours have been reduced or whatever it is, you never know. So definitely I would make it known. I also think it's important in terms of getting up and not kind of allowing yourself to just sulk. I mean, finances are important. Employment or whatever you're doing is important. But being down and depressed where you're just kind of in that lull and sad about it, like, that can be really unhealthy, or not can, is really unhealthy. So important, I think, Bea in Toronto, when she was being terrorized on her job before she got rescued and off to a new plantation, better plantation, she talked about the importance of her offspring coming in and saying, "Hey, Mom, let's come on, let's get up, let's get out, just gotta go do something, let's go hike, got a trail, let's, you know, just to get out, get some sunshine, get your body moving." Your immune system doesn't even work as well if you're just loafing around and sitting on the sofa eating potato chips all day long. So that's really important. That helps get that brain computer moving, helps get some energy flowing, like, all right, I'm moving on. New plantation, whatever it is that I'm going to be doing, let's get to work on that, as opposed to just being stuck in that vileness and being disgusted about this situation. I also think it's important, too, what was said about not taking it personally, because I think that happens so frequently, even beyond the current situation, which for sure, everybody in what's happening right now, the Rona, racists get blame for everything. Like, it should not be any, you know, I am messed up and I'm so defected and blah, blah, blah. And that, no. Not at all, not during this time period. And I have even people that I've talked to have kind of felt that way, where they had their hours reduced or something of that nature. And, I mean, we are in an unprecedented global crisis. I mean, what can you do? So I thought that was really important in terms of not taking it personal. That happens a lot with regards to the system of white supremacy. White people don't get blamed for the predicament that black people are in. Labor and all other areas of people activity, it's just that black people are lazy and incompetent and irresponsible and shiftless and blah, 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 and all the rest of it. Nope. Rona, racists to blame for all of this. If folks have any other tips, that would be helpful. So I say it's always great to keep your resume polished. And I think why Mr. Fuller recommends being kind of frugal, so you don't have, you know, I guess it's if you can afford to get that Mercedes or whatever it is, I guess that's cool. But I mean, even some of the basketball players, they've said, oh man, like, if they don't finish the season, like, wow, we might not get compensated for this. Like, ooh, I mean, yeah, it can be nice if you can get all those fancy luxury items, but in a system of white supremacy, whites can take those nickels back very, very fast. So it can be best to be kind of frugal. Not making a whole lot of purchases, not doing a whole lot of spending, not trying to maintain anything extravagant. Lower that spending, lower those needs. That is a really good habit to maintain through the COVID-19 situation and beyond. Like, I think that's really good counter-racism economics all the way through. That way, if something like this happens, whew, have a little bit more squirreled away so you can try to get through this a little bit better. The very first segment, again, if we have folks who have tips on being laid off, furloughed, all of that, super appreciated. Now is the time to share. The first segment where they were talking about essential employees, again, that's been one of many significant things throughout this, I forget how long we've been going, since March, since all this began for the U.S. The number of essential workers that we have right here in terms of the CAHL's audience, and how many folks have reported that that seems to be the case, that there are a lot of black non-white people who are working those type of jobs where they didn't get to stay home and they've had to go out, they've been at greater risk for being infected with COVID-19 and not getting the same compensation, where you end up in those type of predicaments where if you could get unemployment, you're making more than some of these folks who are so-called heroes, been out there the whole time on the front lines, as they say. Heard those type of stories, and they make it, that's the other thing too. With the unemployment, that kind of varies state by state. And in fact, We played a report some years back where they talked about the white supremacy racism with regards to all of that, social services, unemployment benefits, all of that. In states where you have a higher population of black people, they make it much more difficult to get those benefits. They tend to be smaller. They're much more punitive. If you, you know, mess up a piece of paperwork, like you forgot to dot an I on one of those, up. Yeah, I don't know if that's an I or an L. You got to trash that one. You've been banned from benefits. Like, they had her in. It was specific. Like, this is NPR. We played it on the compensatory call-in. It was like they had an exact threshold. The number, I'm going to just say 40% because I don't remember the exact number, but it was like, once you cross 40% population of a particular state, Negroes, oh man, benefits change drastically. Like someplace like Washington State, they don't have a lot of Negroes. Excellent benefits program and all of that. They are looking out for their citizens in Washington State. Low population of black people. Now, Georgia. But I thought that was super important. Again, as I said, we've got, it seems, a lot of essential employees in the COWS audience. Had one listener who was feeling a little down this week, was concerned. They went and got tested and everything. Seems like they are okay. I can only emphasize, take it seriously. Take it serious. I would say even if, dash, especially if, you work with other folks or around people who are not taking it serious. Like, they're making plans to go to the bar after work and, you know, are taking selfies, holding hands with everybody in the office and laughing at the whole thing of a mask. Because there apparently are a lot of those type of folks. So if you are around people like that, man, resist the urge to start thinking like them. And, you know, they're probably right. There probably is no Rona. I don't need this mask at all. Take it seriously. Number again is 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. 2020 has been awful in like a billion different ways. One thing we can be appreciative. Thanks to the Rona, a whole lot of folks might be excused from 4th of July activities, like all kinds of things. Like I said, I know I have been on jobs, so we had tacky little 4th of July picnics and other little gatherings and decorations around the office and what have you. I think a whole lot of us void all of that. Now, I know they did press through in some areas. They've had fireworks here going off, but that's not like a workplace thing. But I don't know in terms of workplace activities if they've had a lot of that. Again, I would just ask if I was there and they were doing anything that sounded like, oh, we're having a little get-together, you know, celebrate the thing. Like, whoa, are we implementing social distance? Like, it wouldn't have to be. I don't think we should do this. I wouldn't even make a statement. I would sit, get 2 minutes and just think of one, maybe two questions just to ask. Are we social distancing? And once you know, they make it clear, yay or nay, if they're being serious, are these people who are taking things seriously and they already have a social distancing plan in place and how far apart we're going to sit, masks, blah, 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 all the rest of it, or are these people who are not taking it serious at all? If it's the latter, I would just ask if it's mandatory that we have to participate. If you're, you know, with folks, they're not wearing a mask and are joking about the mask and that type of, oh, okay, is this mandatory? And I would say that with my mask on. Is this mandatory that we have to be in attendance? If it is, ooh, this is one of those situations. I guess people can share. I would have to think on it, but the first thing I thought of, if this is one of those situations where they're requiring you to be here, it's seeming like it's going to be some sort of retaliation, they're going to be punitive if you decide you don't want to come to this shindig. Whew. Do I snitch? Because folks have done that before, and it stopped this thing exactly, stopped it the very day. Like, the mayor got involved, they'd be PSA, they did some finger wagging that we are not doing this sort of thing, take it seriously, and stop all of that. I would have to seriously think about snitching to other white people. Like, this is, I wouldn't even have to snitch for me personally. I would just snitch like, wow, is this in the best interest of promoting safety for our workers if we all are getting together and not social distancing and such? local safety board, if there's a more powerful owner. Like, it's a whole lot of options, but I would have to think about snitching on that one if they're insisting and you got to be present and they're not taking it serious. Yeah, because I don't think I would go. And I know I wouldn't go under these conditions, like going to a bar or a restaurant or anything, like, even if it was the park, because I've had some where we had to go. It was like a 4th of July thing, and we all went out to the park for, like, barbecue and other. Nope. Outside is not enough space either. Thank you kindly. Anyway, if folks have thoughts on that, situations in your own workplace, hopefully a lot of folks maybe got some extra time away from the job, 4th of July and all that, so maybe folks are enjoying their R&R, and they'll be revved up, ready to roll for the beginning of next week. *61, if you have comments to share. Let's see. See, folks are hanging there, spectating for a moment, perhaps. We'll see. Maybe, again, as I said, maybe this means lots of black people didn't have to work for a few days. Maybe that means they got time off. We got all of this, and they just said, go home and, you know, don't bring your germs into the office. We'll get an email as folks get an opportunity to get their thoughts together. Now, this, importantly, the first segment that we had about the essential workers, and that disproportionately black people, all the rest of it, this person has written in before, victim of racism, black female, about doing work, contact tracing work, and saying that a lot of black people, essential workers, and it looks like that's how they're being getting contaminated, going out, having to work, and then coming back, getting sick. So she writes in this week, just my observations as a contact tracer. On the news, there was a high school graduation party held in Florida for a bunch of seniors who attended a school here in New York. Wait a minute. Make sure I get that. On the news, there was a high school graduation party held in Florida for a bunch of seniors who attended a school here in New York. Okay, I read that. Wow, I was going to ask for the racial classification, but I don't think I need it at this point, because I just said that I don't think many of our Cows listeners have a Pilates instructor on hand. Maybe they do. I definitely don't think that too many Cows listeners or their children would be having a graduation jamboree like in another state where you might have to actually take a plane to get to your high school graduation jamboree. Continuing, it was confirmed there was indeed someone at that party that had the coronavirus a few days after. They all flew back to New York a few days after. It takes some time to investigate before the cases populate the Department of Health database, so who knows if these people were walking around among the general public. They probably were. Normally, considering the tri-state area got a bit of a hold on the virus, we didn't have many people to contact, so it has been slow, but since this graduation party, the queue became extremely overwhelmed with contacts and cases. I will emphasize this party, well, make it plain, I will emphasize this party was full of white students. Now, this is how the virus spread the first time in New York. One white man who traveled back to New York from a hot spot had been sick for a month, but still working and commuting via train, making him the cause of the disaster we had here. This one white man is actually from the same area as these high school kids, probably one of their parents. I say this to say, black people need to keep your distance from white people, and if you can't, take the necessary precautions, because you don't know where they have been, where they came from, and what they possibly might be carrying that can harm you. We have spectators, so I will feel free to read that sentence again. I feel like somehow it would be applicable even if there was no Rona. I'll read it again. I say this to say, black people need to keep your distance from white people, and if you can't, take the necessary precautions because you don't know where they have been, where they came from, and what they possibly might be carrying that can harm you, including a firearm. My job duties are to locate contacts and monitor cases for 14 days by reporting if they show any symptoms and to make sure they are quarantining. Now, I can't guarantee they have no symptoms or if they are truly in quarantine because I can only report what they tell me, so black people just need to be very aware of them. Bravo. Much obliged for the information. Take it serious. Again, it's just been an environment rife for illness. Once you have a lot of confusion and misinformation and all the rest of it, what does that idiot say? Confusion is lethal. Take things very serious. And I just think that's such an important point because there have been. They've been saying it. There were a number of reports that have emphasized specifically it's not the protests that's spreading the virus. It's parties like what she just mentioned, generally with a lot of white people. Now, again, I have seen some non-white people doing this same type of thing. Take it seriously. But, wow, I have seen tons. And I mean, whole nother level. Like I just read. Like, it's one thing if we're just on the block and get together and foolish. I mean, that's ill-advised as well. But, I mean, New York, all the way to Florida, even if we, like, drove, if we just got on a bus and it was just us, so we're just spreading the virus amongst ourselves and we go all the way down to Florida and partying. I mean, are we going to take it serious? We're not going to take it. We're not taking it serious. No. Okay. Lots of that type of behavior, particularly among white people, and that's been the entire time, all the way throughout. The New York Times has had tons of articles where white people did the same thing. They went down to Florida for spring break. Take it serious. Like I said, if you work with these type of people, because it would not surprise me, they just graduated so they could have jobs and such, it's summertime. If you work with these type of people or their parents and they're on the job, not taking it serious, they want to come by your desk space, your cubicle, and chat it. Social distancing. Even if, for real, even if they were coming up talking about work-related things, social distancing. Could you please ring me on the phone, text me, email me? Just want to try and make sure that we are all practicing the best, safest workplace practices. That's the way that I would safety, get that word safety in as often as possible. Like, I'm taking it serious. If you don't, you don't want to wear a mask. Don't wash your hands this month. No problem. Just make sure I want my 6 feet of space at all times. Like I said, I'm not eating in the cafeteria and all the rest of that. If I'm having to go into the workplace at all, take it serious. Do not let people that are functioning like this, folks we just read about, do not let them impact how you behave and how you think. That is something to watch out for because that can happen in workplace settings. Number again, much obliged, female caller who wrote in. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Make sure. Oh, and then it's not doing that either. Tried to get the switchboard, but it did not work, so I'll try again. Let's see if it works this time. Got it that time. We'll see. Retired firefighter, did you have commentary, sir?
Not really, not yet. I did hear the report with the firefighter that you played with having some serious problems. But I would say that is business as usual with the fire department. But I'll pitch in as other callers would start participating about whatever issues they may have had on their job.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. Wife culture, we've had enough anecdotes with the fire department over the years. Anybody who listens to this program should not be surprised about anything that happens in the fire department. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Make sure I get in. We will be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in. That's normal time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will be here on Sunday. Mr. Christopher Everett, he did the documentary film Wilmington on Fire, one of the best documentaries that I've seen on racism and white supremacy, deals with the 1898 coup in Wilmington, North Carolina. We talked about that film extensively right at the end of 2015. Lots of great information. I think one of our favorites, Pittsburgh Ben Tillman, even popped up in that dialogue. He came back to mind, or I've been, we follow each other on social media and that sort of thing, so I try to help promote his content when I can. But I was thinking of his work specifically. We had the report about the three Wilmington police officers who were terminated. They were recorded in their workplace capacity, excellent use of recording equipment. They were recorded saying that all these vile things. They want same thing at the fire department. They wanted to kill black people, getting assault rifles, and set them back generations. That was one key sentence. Not just killing one or two black people, but we're going to kill them by the bushel. Set them back generations, they said. And I said, man, that is, the exact thinking, conduct of whites in Wilmington going back centuries, 1898. That's his, documentary film, Wilmington on Fire. I believe he still resides in North Carolina, Mr. Everett, black male. And he, of course, had been writing about the officers that were fired and how this related to his film and all the rest of it, white supremacy, racism. I reached out to him, said, hey, you should get you on the program to put this incident in context, what they said, how it relates to your film, and, what this means for where we are. That should be this Sunday, normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. His documentary is available online if you've not seen it, Wilmington on Fire. If folks are, sitting at home, you don't have to be at work for some of the holidays or whatever it is, feel free to check it out. It is fantastic. Wilmington on Fire by Mr. Christopher Everett, and it's in the archives. If you want to check it out, you can go back, I believe, December 2015, and it should be in the archives. Great interview, and we have a few snippets from the documentary film. Anywho, so that's the next few days, hopefully being active, constructive, as we broadcast through the holiday weekend. Be safe if you are out and about. Let's see, other folks who dialed in with a hand up. I guess you're on the Skype line. Some of the other folks should be with us.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, black male engineer.
How's it going, everyone? Black male engineer here. Just wanted to comment that I finally left my plantation. I'm no longer on that plantation. It feels great. It feels like a weight has been lifted from my mind. I'm able to sleep more consistently and longer and get a lot more work done. So definitely leaving your plantation helps with mental health if you've been feeling like, you're mentally stressed from at your plantation. I was reading an article, and it was about a couple of scientists who researchers, and they were posting. So what they posted this study about IQ amongst people, black people in various countries, and the conclusion was that the research said that the average IQ was like 70 or 75, meaning retarded or whatever. But, you know, I'm bringing this up on workplace racism because these are researchers, and it was put through a scientific journal. And, you know, these people have university positions, and it just, you know, it just helps to show how, like, that racism element is in the schools and the universities. And, you know, these same people have been accused of being racist to students on multiple occasions. One of the racists in particular was already, you know, he has multiple investigations on him. But their work was still pushed through the pipeline to be published in these reputable journals and everything. I think New York University, Cambridge, and a couple other schools. So I think that, yeah, that was really it, though.
They are still experts. That is the system of racism, white supremacy, where there just doesn't seem to be a penalty practice of white supremacy racism. I mean, that's certainly illustrated with enforcement officials, but I mean, the academy, you could probably pick any line of work. These folks being still experts to give their opinion on IQ or probably a range of topics. We've seen a lot of that, even though they're under investigation, which might take years. We've talked about that. Who knows? I don't know how long they've been under investigation. It could be months, could be years. I'm sure the Rona is not going to help expedite any of these queries into whether they, you know, harmed a student. I didn't even get any details. I mean, what are we talking about exactly in terms of the allegations? Who knows? Is it just that they said something, they misspoke? Are we talking about a grading issue? Like, we don't even get the details. They just still get to come out and present their work as accomplished white experts. I've been seeing a lot of that this week, too, white people being listed as experts on racism. We should have one of those segments on the compensatory call-in for tomorrow. But much obliged. Bravo. Make sure I don't bury the lead. Congratulations on you leaving your plantation. I'm not surprised if you're able to sleep better, feel better, think better, not having that stress, not having to worry about, you know, what is their policy and procedure going to be for dealing with the Rona. Like, probably a million different benefits. So, bravo. If folks out there are feeling overwhelmed, stressed, not valued, any number of things, dissatisfied with your career or where you're at right now, and you've been thinking like, hey, I've got plans for things that I would like to do to kind of get out of this, work for myself, as they say, plan it out, strategize, and see if you can make it happen for a number of black people where they've said at least not having to go into that space or be around these race soldiers on a regular basis, that had a hugely constructive impact on their health and well-being. So that is definitely something to consider for victims of racism. Let's see. Number again, 605-313-5164, decode 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, I hope folks are not having to work. Our caller at 4731 should be with us as well. But I hope folks are not having to work, right, this weekend, or maybe even you get the Monday too. If you get some time off, try to use it constructively. Do some reading. Catch up on the book club. You can do some constructive cleaning around your residence. You can do some cooking. They've done all that talk about obesity and health-related illnesses. Hey, now you have some time. You can play around. Find some recipes that are healthier. Find some vegetables or fruits that you want to play around with. Work on your workplace racism code. It's lots of things that can be done. Make sure you're getting quality rest. I know from a lot of people they said they have not rested well because of all the disruptions over the last few months, and it's just been stressful and everything. You can make sure. Be like our caller who just dialed in, black male engineer. I'm sleeping better. Take advantage and say, I'm going to rest really, really well so that I can be fully nourished, rested, rejuvenated when it is time to get back to the plantation, if that is you. Our caller at 4731 should be with us also.
Hi, everyone. This is Napa Valley from California. And I'm just, like, calling in. I'm a bit, like, late and stuff, so I didn't really get to hear, like, the, what's it called, the beginning, like, sound clips and stuff. And, like, I guess, like, the other caller's concern. But, yeah, I just got off of work.
Wow. did you need a moment to settle yourself, or did you have something to share?
Yeah, I think I needed a moment.
Thaw out. No problem. We'll give you, take as much time as you need. We'll check back in once you kind of get settled. Take a few breaths. That's important as well. If you, excuse me, if you work, especially if it's been a stressful day, I'd really say any day, but especially if it's been stressful, you know, were subject to any sort of discourtesy or something that made you feel disgruntled about what happened in the workplace that day, take time to resettle and just calm down. Sometimes it's important to just allow yourself a few moments to kind of detoxify from all of that, because you can come home and you still have that energy, especially if it's something that happened kind of later in the day, so you're still thinking about it. You might still be in that emotional state where either you're responding to other people and or that's still just dominating your energy, your thinking, where you're not able to even move on with, you know, the rest of your day to do whatever you're going to do. Take that time. If it's, you know, stopping, it's thankfully it's a little bit warmer now. The sun is out. It's not getting dark as early. You could take time. You could stop by a park if they're open. If you are fortunate enough to live near a body of water, just 15, 30 minutes. If you want to take that time, you can walk. Think about, you know, whatever happened. How are you feeling? What do you want to do about it? Write it down. You can take that time, sit at the water, sit outside at the park or whatever. Write in your workplace journal, you know, pull out your phone or whatever. Or if you have an actual writing pen and pad journal, write your thoughts down. Figure out what you want to do, and that way you can kind of at least leave it for the moment so that you can move forward with your evening or your day or whatever it is, as opposed to just having that dominate the whole weekend. Because I have been there, and we've had other folks who've called in where you have that sort of episode happen, and like, let's say if it happened today or if it happened yesterday, it ends up dominating the next 3-4 days of your time, where you're not even able to, you know, so-called enjoy your time off because you're still stewing in whatever conflict or whatever went down. So try to avoid that as best you can. If you need time to decompress, take it. I mean, they'll encourage, hey, let's go to the happy hour and, you know, get a drink. That is not, in my view, that is not a healthy way to decompress. It is much better, as I said, take a walk. You know, some folks, I've heard some people, they go to the gym. They have that sort of episode. They go to the gym. That way they can sweat it all out, all that aggression, and do all that, and they feel much better. They can process and move forward with their day. Great. Get a run in. We had some retired firefighting folks talking about going out running with their children. Great. Do your run after work. But figure out something to kind of help you deal with that and then move. Because when you hold on to that, like, man, it can cause a lot of health problems. And that's how we end up doing a lot of that overeating and things, being frustrated about that. You just, you know, be nervous eating, that sort of thing, or alcohol. Lots of problems can be associated with that. Real important. Workplace decompression. Let's see. Other folks, if you have observations, comments, thoughts to share, *61. Let's see. Our caller in California, just take your time whenever you are feeling ready. And the email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions thoughts, coronavirus suggestions, and or protest suggestions. I guess I would only give out one really quick. Dr. Kanban, genius again. Now, he said this a long time ago, way before the virus got started and all that. Cancel all the social media accounts, because that's just going to be used as intel, so you can go back and find something that you said, deny you from a job or whatever else, some lewd pictures that you took in college. There have been a number of reports this week of non-white people and white people who've been terminated, reprimanded, had to answer because they said something about the protests, said something on a job, said they had some sort of conversation about all this on a job, or posted something on social media about all this, and then some of their coworkers found it and reposted it and all the rest of it. I would not I wouldn't be on social media if we weren't doing this program. Be very clear about that. None of it. If you enjoy browsing, if you have family members and all that who have accounts and you like checking in with them or seeing their photos and all that, great. You do not need an account to do that, generally speaking. I would not be on those accounts. If you got to have one, it would not be under my legal name, the way that I am known in my workplace or whatever it is. I certainly would not be friends with, like I'm talking social media friends, with any coworkers, not even non-white coworkers. It's right. It's just too many illustrations, because you could be friends with a non-white coworker and you all could be legitimate like friends where you have a rapport, there's a trust there and all that, and they end up sharing content. Literally, that's what I mean, like social media, sharing content, and then if they are friends with somebody, one of your white colleagues or what have you, and they see the shared post that you share, you cannot be social media friends with anyone at work. They should not be able to find your social media account or anything like that. Take that really serious as well, because I've seen a number of reports of non-white people and white people got in trouble, got fired in some instances, both white and non-white people, because of something they said or conversations they had in the workplace. Same thing. I'm not talking to anybody about George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, none of this. What's your view on defunding the police? Social distancing. Like, this doesn't have anything to do with our job, even if we work on the police department. And if it does, that would be a different story. But it would still be, whoa, if we're having a meeting or what have you, shouldn't this be on Zoom or whatever? Like, I'm not just having, you know, casual hangout at the water cooler conversation about anything. Nothing. And I'm definitely not talking about these protests, or what's your view on the statues coming down, or do you think Robert E. Lee is a racist? I don't talk about politics. That's another one. Whatever it is, it would be really short and to the point to make sure, no, you didn't hear Gus say anything about the protests here at work, not online, no place. I don't even have a word. I still have to go look. I'm still learning, and I still have to get more information, and that's it. What do you think? I might turn it around and ask them a question to get them to share, but I mean, that should not be anybody that listens to the Cal's program. Should not be caught chatting it out. And I said it just in that way, because that's what happens a lot of times. You end up getting caught talking to somebody else in the workplace about racism and then find out that they were recording it, or they went back and shared it with somebody else, or all kinds of zanies. Way too many examples that have been shared on the program. You are not paid. And unless that person is here, you should speak up. But I don't think most of us, is nowhere in our job description to talk about racism. That's not what you punched that clock for the day, to come in and share your views about they shot a protester. Let's get back to work. And even with that, I'm not sitting around chatting about that either. Social distancing. Drop me an email. Drop me a text message, and you push more of the conversation there. That will also encourage less foolishness. People tend not to horse around, the horseplay and all of that. Or I guess they were sending those lewd photographs at the fire department, but generally speaking, people tend to be a little more cautious in email and text and all that. Generally speaking, not always the case, but generally speaking, people are a little more conscious before they hit send nowadays. All righty. Star 6-1, if you have thoughts, observations to share. Let's see, our caller in New Jersey should be with us. Man, hope you have been. And the switchboard, too. The switchboard has been being real. Oh, there it is. It's been uncooperative, though. The switchboard has been very uncooperative today. Caller in New Jersey should be with us as well. I hope you've been super codified and safe. If you're out doing the deliveries, like, man, you got the Rona and armed white people guarding the driveway and everything else. Like, man, be safe.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm definitely being safe. You know, as I do deliveries in New York City. You know, my workplace experience has been, you know, really no real reports of, you know, overt racism. You know, I remain codified. You know, I haven't talked to a single coworker about, what's going on with the protests, you know, nothing. I go out my way to even avoid, you know. I was in New York right after they looted the Soho area. And, you know, a coworker asked me, hey, how it look? Hey, you know, they got, you know, broken glass, windows up. What a shame. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. So you know, my code, and I'm gonna make a decision in the next few weeks to walk off the plantation and hopefully get my own truck. So, you know, that's, you know, if anybody out there that can give me advice, I'm very nervous about this, you know, just, you know, walking off of the comfort of a weekly check to buy my own truck with the maintenance and just the cost of maintaining. But I've been at work, and just the whole experience of the corona, the protests, the racial tension, my tolerance level is low. I'm dealing with customers, and I'm just, thus callers, I'm just over it. You know, I'm just, you know, at times I'm making deliveries, and just the slightest, you know, just the slightest indiscretion, the slightest thing just kind of like just irritates me. So that's really what's bringing me to the decision to get my own truck, and I've been approved for the loan. So, you know, guys, wish me luck on that. My father called me the other day. He also is in the trucking industry, but however, he's on the labor side, meaning he's not a driver. He's normally a laborer with a truck driver moving company. So he comes in contact with a lot of suspected race soldiers with no badge. You know, I tried to inform him with the limited knowledge I have on racism, but he got into a conversation with a driver, which I suggested he shouldn't have, but okay, but you're stuck in a truck with the guy. So the guy says to him, you know, he doesn't know, you know, what's the fuss about, you know, all lives matter. And he says to my father, hey, you know, we've been working with each other. I never called you a nigga. So has the bar been set so low that you simply not calling me a nigga is an accomplishment? Keep in mind, the driver is responsible for his pay. So he's in a subordinate position. But, again, like I said, reasons I'm getting my own truck, I just couldn't suffer that. What I told him was, you know, I said, you know what, man, you should have just quickly changed the conversation and just kept it about work. You know, again, like I said, my father's had some experiences with race soldiers in the moving industry. A lot of suspected race soldiers that drive in from southern states. I've also, when I was younger, worked under the table with him on the job, and I've witnessed, you know, these drivers, suspected race soldiers, you know, blatantly just, you know, using nigger, and, you know, so it's a very, it can be a very, if you're not codified or you're more confused, it can be a terrorizing experience. My mother, she's also on the workforce. she called me, and on a conference, in the middle of the conference call, the supervisor wanted to talk to all of the minorities and just ask, you know, how they feel about what's going on, what can they do to improve the work environment for black people, but, you know, they have to include minorities, people of color. So, you know, my mother was kind of confused because, you know, she didn't say anything. And, you know, and I told my mother, I said, listen, you know, whatever response you feel is appropriate is okay. And I think that, in my opinion, you handle that well. And you don't have to, no one is asking you to go on your job and become the Rosa Parks of the workplace. You know, they ask you a question. Only thing you can do is just listen. Whatever provisions that's going to be, whatever new policy that's going to be implemented, just pay attention to them policies, ask questions, and just let them talk. You don't have to say much. So I told her I think she was correct in just staying silent and just letting the supervisor speak and move on, you know. So that's all I got right now, Gus. Oh, another thing, Gus. I have witnessed, you know, before the riots, where we was watching police soldiers with badges in New York City attack non-white people that was not wearing masks. As I'm working in, you know, Lower Manhattan, I see ticket agents who walks around with boxes of masks, and they're, you know, giving the mask out. So, you know, they can pick and choose whether they want to be courteous or not. So I witnessed that with my own eyes, and that was very interesting, as I witnessed the videos of black people being attacked for not social distancing and not having masks. So the police department does not need training. They know, you know, they know who to brutalize and who not to. It's all by design. All right.
Context of white supremacy. Appreciate the details at the end about the enforcement of the social distancing policies. It's statewide mandate to wear masks here, but that's been in effect, I think, for a week or so. I haven't seen any enforcement. Like, I haven't seen enforcement officers out, like, you know, snatching people up by the cuff and, what are you doing without that? Like, I haven't seen that sort of thing. Or anybody out with masks, giving them out to make sure that people had them. So, yeah, I'm not. That's just, and again, we don't have a lot of black people here, so. But that is very much important to note, how that's being enforced, the mask wearing, and all the rest of it. As for getting your own truck, congratulations. You already got the loan approved, so that's great. I know we have a number of listeners who are in some sort of trucking or what have you, so if they have any recommendations, please share. But just hearing it sounded very similar to what we heard from the black male engineer about feeling I'm a little less patient, my tolerance level is not quite there, and just being around and the slights, insults, or whatever it is. It might just be, you know, a little bit of discourteousness from these folks, but I'm not interested in dealing with this. I'm not dealing with it as well. That is important to note. Might be important to reevaluate. Is this the best environment for you? Is this going to be best for your health? Because it's not healthy. If you're feeling upset and agitated on a constant basis, that is not healthy for your body. That's how you end up with all that. That's how we end up with all that hypertension and high blood pressure and all the rest of it. White supremacy, racism. But that is something to, you know, seriously monitor. This environment is going to create a lot more stress anyway. But I mean, I think you would know, a lot of us, if we're honest, we know, like, man, was I feeling like this before, you know, all this hit in March? Or, you know, is this just something recent? Like, definitely be mindful, and particularly if it's being mindful of looking for things that would be an improvement over your current station, like, we should be striving, like, becoming universal man, universal woman, like, that is working against the system of racism right there. But if you have any tips, please share. As for the chatting, like, yeah, nothing to chat about in the workplace. If folks have problems that they need addressed, that would be a great time to bring that up, like all of that. This would be a great time to ask for a raise and all kinds of things. And I would get all my data together. It wouldn't be, I want to raise Black Lives Matter. It would be, I want to raise. The last 6 months, I've been on time every day. I've only missed one day. I got a great performance. Like, boom, 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 boom. I'd like a raise. Or whatever else folks can think of. You had typical problems, things that are happening that should not be happening in the workplace. Great time to address them if they're feeling receptive to their Negro workers. Let's see, for your dad, that's, see, now, my question would be now, if the white guy that your dad was talking to, if he said to him, like, oh, man, all lives matter, I've never called you a nigger. Now, if he said nigger, oh, wow, be like, that is very typical. That is one of the ways that white people practice racism. They will repeat or give an illustration where they can say something racist, but they'll say, oh, no, I was just giving the example. I didn't call you a nigger, Bob. What do you mean? I would never call you a nigger, Bob. Do you think I would stand up here and sit here and call you a nigger, Bob? I would never, like, they'll do that sort of thing. And then, I was just giving either way, the all I and all of that, that's why I would nip that in the bud. I don't talk about politics in the workplace. And again, we're supposed to be social distancing. Like, I mean, if we're in the cab together and all that, that's fine. But it would still be like, oh, no, nah, I don't talk about politics. It would definitely be anything where you're in confined space. If we got to sit in this cab together for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 4 hours, any of it. Like, oh, no, nah, we got to keep real casual, light banter. Can't be nothing that's going to get dicey and rowdy if we got to sit in this cab together. So, oh, no, nah, we don't, I don't talk about politics in the work environment, in the cab, or none of that. To get that, I mean, yeah, if he's paying the salary, now I'm going to sit here and squabble with him, and he's cutting my paycheck. It's not all lives matter, Bob. It's, yeah. And then you already heard the opinion on Black Lives Matter. The firefighter, not our firefighter, but the firefighter race soldier said, those Black Lives Matter protesters should be shot. So, as I said, I suspect that that viewpoint is pretty widespread. I just would not engage in that conversation at all. I would make a note, like if this was a white person that I thought was cool, he had never shared anything about racism, white supremacy, anything like that, I would make a note of his response, but no. Nothing to talk about. You just confirmed everything I need to know. Let's just go about, you know, our business, doing what we do. Yeah, be codified. You do not want to be goaded into any of those dialogues with a white person on the job. And as I said, frankly, I would be using my words. Cut that short. I'm not interested in listening to a white person talk to me about that on the job either. I'm not paid to listen to you talk about racism. We just do the trucks. Well, we do, you know, whatever it is that we're paid to do here in the workhouse or the office, or the department. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see, before we shove off, I'll check in. If you need more time, again, take as much time as you need. I'm just checking in to make sure before I push off to another caller, since you were in the queue first. Our caller, Napa Valley, California's best. Did you need more time? If you're still decompressing, take more time.
Yeah, just a little more time.
Take more time. Take more time. We will check back in later. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, be in Toronto, already mentioned. Hope you are doing well, counting down days to the new plantation. Oh, did you get your test results back? Let's see. Asking off. My bad. I shouldn't have done that.
Yes, I did.
She mentioned it on air. I felt kind of bad after doing it. Like, oh, my gosh. But she did mention it on air last week. That's the only reason I did it publicly.
No worries. Greetings, guests, callers, and listeners. Yes, the test was negative. But yes, as with the last time that I had called, it was just so interesting when the nurse had informed that even though the test, it can come up as false negative, it can come up as false negatives in at least 30% of the cases, which was quite interesting. And yes, I'm still learning. And write poorly as long as the systems of white supremacy is still in place. I do have to say that I have been feeling much better. My offspring and I, we continue to do walks on a regular basis, and I've even dusted off the treadmill at home. It's a non-motorized treadmill. I think the non-motorized are the better kind than the motorized, because you're using your own energy to set the treadmill in motion. So I've been using that a lot as well, and lost so far a total of 15 pounds. So I'm excited about that. And in my mind, I keep saying to myself, staying healthy is a revolutionary act, and that is one contribution towards dismantling white supremacy. As I know that you've mentioned, Jess, in the past, that one of the ways white supremacy sabotages, and I'm just paraphrasing here, is in terms of what we eat. And oftentimes what we eat, if it's not the appropriate food for us, can make our body feel really sluggish, in addition to the stress that we have, that can cause a whole host of problems. So getting more and more healthy is definitely the goal. The other thing is that I'm starting the new position on Monday. So excited about that, that it will be in a different environment. It's with the hope that this plantation would not be as awful as the last two that I've been on. So I'm looking forward, but still keeping mindful and sticking to my code. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is in terms of when you're on the job, or on the plantation rather, be mindful for any particular violations that might be occurring on the job. So for instance, say if the fire alarm's not working, say if you have a joint health and safety committee and you notice like the wires are protruding, and it hasn't been fixed, there's little sparks happening. If there's any obstruction of the exit and entranceways, be mindful of those types of violations. I think that workers tend to overlook it. And the reason why I mentioned to be mindful of and take a note of it is that you can call in some departments anonymously to report that plantation to ensure that the workplace is safe for you. In some cases where you will have to give your name, definitely ask if the name will be kept confidential, so that at least there will be inspectors that will need to come to the plantation to inspect, and if they find that there's any violations, they will issue orders, or the company will actually be given a fine if they do not comply with the orders. But the orders will at least be documented, so in that way, it will help keep your environment safe. continue to document, continue to review your policies and procedures, and just to take those things into consideration as well. And just, keep your mind fortified, with a goal as to how you wish to carry your day. I know that you've mentioned this, Gus, where individuals prior to starting to work can at least come 30 minutes, 15 minutes before shift start to get your mind right as to what your goal is. And if your goal is to get through the day, or if your goal is more specific, getting certain tasks done within that day, then you set those goals, and regardless of what is going on around you, push to accomplish those goals so that your mind is focused. I noticed that with more exercising, because I was doing a little bit of dancing as well, the more physical activity you exert, I find for myself, the more focused I become, and it's a lot more easier for me to concentrate. My sleep pattern has not been great because I've been waking up in the middle of the night. And that's just for me, in that if a decision hasn't been made, or if I don't know what's going to happen, I still have that anxiety and I'm trying to resolve it, and I'll be waking up in the middle of the night. So what helps is when I do the exercise, I'm exerting that burst of energy. So I hope that's helpful as well for sleep. Thank you so much, and I leave the line.
Wow. Coming up for summer of 2020. I'm glad somebody is. New job, new plantation, and minus 15 pounds. Like, wow. Congrats. I had mentioned your offspring earlier, your son saying, hey, Mom, got to get up and get out. Let's go do the trails. Let's go do some hiking. So you're not staying in the house. Like, that is spectacular. I'm so glad. And that the benefits, minus 15 pounds, like spectacular. Staying healthy, that is the protest and an act of black self-respect. I love it. The reporting and seeing the benefits too, like that shouldn't be minimized. Having more energy, being able to think more efficiently, being more focused. Spectacular. The recommendation about reporting violations, being aware of them. Well, one, I think for a lot of those, or at least some of them, it'd be helpful. You would note the violations if you know the policy and procedure. So, after you've read your policy and procedure, and you are noting violations, like she said, oh man, the fire alarm is broken, or they got loose wires or leaks or any of that. All of that, super important. That's why I say, even if racism, white supremacy is not being practiced against you per se, you want to be aware of violations, period, just as she said. And I guess you can let me know or not. I think violations of policy and procedure in terms of what's recommended from the CDC or whatever governing body in Toronto, with regards to COVID-19. That's why I said, if they're running around with no masks and high-fiving everybody and doing selfies while they got everybody and they're drinking out of the same cup in the lunchroom staff, like, man, I feel like that's the sort of thing that should be snitched to. Would you, do you think, B, would that go on your list in terms of reporting violations, noting violations in the workplace if they're not following the protocol with regards to COVID-19?
Most definitely. In fact, I would want to refer back to, I believe it was Emmy that had mentioned the procedures that she went through in order to ensure that the COVID testing happened at her plantation. So definitely taking steps towards that And if you find that the recommendations have not been taken seriously, or it's not taken within a reasonable time, turnaround time should be within the next 24 to 48 hours, definitely contact an external labor board in regards to health and safety and report it. And an inspector, first when you call the health and safety, ask if you have to give your name, because in some departments, when you're reporting violations to an external department, you do not have to give your name. So if that's the case where you don't have to give your name, then report it anonymously. But if you have to give your name, definitely ask if your name will be kept confidential so it doesn't return back onto you. And then at least an inspector would be able to come in and inspect. There isn't, they do not have to state a time with the company as to when they're coming. And when they do arrive on the plantation, they do not require a warrant to conduct their investigation. They will be right there to note the violations and give the company or plantation their orders to ensure everyone is following the appropriate protocol.
Love it. Super logical. Super. And I can say we've had listeners who have done exactly what B in Toronto just outlined. And it was about COVID-19. Their employer was not following the guidelines about COVID-19. Or I'll take it back, they reported it. They reported it to us. They did not do the snitching, but they did report it to us. One of the other folks on the job did snitch, and that, bam, more powerful white people got on them that very day, like within a matter of minutes from the snitching taking place. They got out there and boom, 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 got on the news and made phone calls and all of that. Like, you are going to take this seriously right now. Like, you're not going to stop messing around with those parties and all the rest of it. So, yeah. And that's what I said about black self-respect, all of that. If you're in a work environment where it's not safe and they've got exposed wires and other things that are hazards, or just their code violations, the fire exit is blocked or something like that. Man, that generally, those are the type of signs that I say, oh, yeah, they do not really value following policy and procedure. They don't really value their employees because they're not even valuing taking proper care of the building to make sure that the staff, clients, whoever, whatever type of business it is, to make sure that this is adequately taken care of. So, yeah, that I would generally say those type of code violations are generally symptomatic of greater problems. So absolutely, be mindful, report. That is something, gleefully snitch about that. Fire exit is blocked, you should gleefully snitch, because that could cost lives. They're not following the Rona guidelines, gleefully snitch, because that could, you know, end up costing lives or having people get sick unnecessarily. Much obliged to be in Toronto. That is music in my ear, to my ears when I hear folks being at work 30 minutes early. That's just my code. That's just my procedure. Get there 20 minutes early and be known for that. I am here on time. Early, in fact. No messing around. Ready to roll. That's one of the easy ones that they get. A lot of times they'll have discretion too, but that's one of the ones that they'll get a lot of black people, non-white people worldwide. Up, you were 2 seconds late. Up, you are 30 seconds later. Or they'll come, they'll wait like a month. Sometimes they'll do it really sly. They'll come and they'll wait like 45 days, and you might come in, say you have to be there at 9 o'clock, and you come in at 9:02. Get there at 9:02, and it's like, oh, we need to talk to you, Jenny. Sorry, so sorry. But you came in today at 9:02, and it looks like you came in last month, you came in at 9:01, and then the month before that, you came in at 9:03. So, yeah, we just can't have you just messing around and being late every day. It's like, what? Like, what? I was, at discretion, there'll be other white people who got there at 9:05, 9:07, 9:06, 9:08, 9:10. Maybe they get a warning. Now, come on, Bob. Rest of us get here at 9 o'clock. Let's go. Sometimes they'll have discretion. It'll be a warning with you. Maybe you get a warning. Maybe you don't. But I've heard from a lot of non-white people that time thing. And that's a great one when it's time for a raise. Like, whoo. have not been late at all, have been, or you don't even have to tell them I've been early, just have not been tardy once in the last 6 months. Excellent one to put down when it's time for a raise. Context of white supremacy. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I hope no one, I guess I'll repeat again, hopefully lots of folks, or I guess maybe not be in Toronto, Canada, they're not doing all that wackiness, but at least for folks that are in the States, hopefully we have more folks who are not having to work for the next few days. Take advantage, enjoy your time off, get more rest. If you are having to work, I hope people are not working in an environment where you are being like ridiculed and picked on. If you are taking the Rona thing seriously and like wearing a mask, or if you have hand sanitizer, or you know, you take stop to go wash your hands, if you are not diving into the donut platter or whatever else, I hope we do not have any victims of racism who are having to deal with that type of what shall I call it, insanity in your workplace. But if you are, I would just, hey, liken it to counter racism, that is the insanity in terms of the world that we are in. Or I can't even say the world, because that's the United States specifically. If we were in a number of other countries, that would not be happening. They are doing the correct thing, wearing masks, and, you know, moving on with life. But that is the insanity of where we are specifically. So much like counter racism, doing the logical thing in an insane world created by the system of white supremacy frequently will be met with opposition. Pay them no mind. That can be difficult sometimes. That peer pressure can wear you down. They have peer pressure to eat bad food. They have peer pressure to not wear a mask. They have peer pressure to not replace white supremacy with justice. They got peer pressure for all the bad things. You have to block all that out. Be focused. Got mentioned. Be focused. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Be focused. Focused on counter-racism. Focused on taking the virus seriously. Focused on eating correctly, and that's all the same thing. Let's see. I'll try again, just making sure I don't forget. If you need more time, take more time. Our caller in Napa Valley, are you still detoxing, or did you want to share?
I'm ready.
No. Feel free.
Hi again, everyone. This is Matthew Valley from California. Well, at least like an update from last time. I said that I was trying to get, like these two clients off of my caseload. Miss B from Toronto, and also like Mr. Gus. Yeah, your advice and stuff, like, yeah, I was able to, really get them off of my caseload. So that's definitely, like, taking the edge off of, like, work now. But I think, like, now I'm starting to feel like I'm kind of, like, more annoyed, like, with the idea of work, or at least, like, the job that, like, I have. And it's kind of getting in the way of my, like, motivation, because I know that, like, it's, like, not, like, the career for me, or, like, not somewhere that I want to get, like, stuck at, but it's just kind of, like, tough kind of, like, trying to juggle, everything, because I was, like, almost, like, full-time, like, hours, and then I'll, like, since I, like, removed those, like, two people, like, it's reduced, like, to under that. And the other day I was, like, talking to my therapist, and, like, she even said, like, for, like, her son that was, like, taking in the bar, like, he took, like, I think, like, 2 months off leave, like, before, like, taking the test to get ready and prepared. And like what I'm, my bad. Well, what I'm studying for right now is like the MCAT, which is like for medical school. So yeah, I just like wish that I could do that, or I'm trying to think of like how I could like apply for leave or like I don't know, like get vacation pay, because I do like need the money. That's like the main reason why I've like continued to work. But yeah, I just like don't know how to like navigate like, oh, like getting vacation off or like taking time off to like a month or two to like study more. Because I do have like my first like test like in like the towards like the end of like this month. But I kind of doubt that like my score is gonna be really like hot, so I'm anticipating that I will be like taking it again in like at the end of August, and maybe like September. Like if I'm able to like push it back that much, but yeah, that's basically it for me. Thank you.
Much obliged. If I can ask really quick, it sounds like you got the clients who were making the racist comments about the other black people. It sounds like you just got them off of your caseload. That's what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Right on. I guess if that were, right on, that was presented as one of the options to either use the guidelines to get them to behave when you have to meet with them, get them off of your caseload, or pick a new job. So I guess if you got them off your caseload, problem solved. Or I guess not problem solved, because you did say that that did impact your hours, that you were close to full-time and now you're under. So that would be something to consider. I guess if it takes some time for you to get those two clients back so you're closer to having full-time hours so it doesn't impact your pay in the future. That is important, though, I think, what you said about being annoyed with feeling as though this is maybe not what you're supposed to be doing with your time and energy. I think that's important. Yeah. I think that's something that all of us should be thinking about. Like, what am I supposed to be doing with my time and energy? Like, you got the MCAT coming up, are looking at med school. That's important. That's a big time commitment, and you have to do a lot of studying and all that, as you said, and want to make sure that you have the best scores. Emmy's doing the same thing, MCAT and all that, and med schools. The interviews and all that good stuff. So fantastic. I'm glad you already have your plan together so that you can study and try to put all the time necessary to take it serious and do your best. We have folks who have done the MCAT. I'm ignorant about lots of things. They might have some tips on either ways that you can, I guess it would be funding, if they have some sort of stipend or something where you could get more time, where you can maybe, I don't know, your job might even have something where you could get a sabbatical to study. You could ask about that, let them know about your MCAT situation, because I've seen jobs where they have all kinds of allowances and exceptions for people who are trying to do something constructive. So they might have something, particularly if you can figure out a way to get a stipend or some sort of investment for, you said the test is coming up soon. So, yeah, if we have any folks who have any knowledge, resources for students, and particularly black students, because, hey, I mean, we're in the midst of the coronavirus crisis and needing more medical folks and black medical experts, like, yeah, if they have funding or tips that would be helpful for her as she's embarking on all of this, please share. But that is super important. All of us should be thinking about that, particularly if you're starting to feel annoyed with your work environment. Like, is this how I'm supposed to be investing my time and energy? Especially given the context of white supremacy racism, is this how I'm supposed to be investing my time and energy? Something to think about. Context of white supremacy. The number again is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943 pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. If you had known that you were going to lose income, that it would drop you further away from full-time hours, losing these two clients, would you still want to get them off of your caseload, or would you try to do more to just say, hey, I'm going to use the rules to get these folks to stop with their, you know, crude racist comments, or, hey, I would rather deal with the lost finances to just not have to see them anymore?
Yeah, definitely, like, get rid of them. And I just don't have, like, time for, like, that kind of stuff. Or, yeah, I don't really have tolerance for, like, unnecessary, like, stress or drama, especially, like, for, like, a job that I'm not, like, really, like, seeing, like, you know, like, a future, like, a long-term, like, future and stuff. So, yeah, I just don't want, like, problems. But yeah, it does cost like the like less money. But yeah, I think I'm a lot more like vulnerable to like you know, like my mental health and stuff. So I would rather like, you know, like take care of that than like financial.
Hi, again.
Guess he got cut off temporarily.
Oh, no. Hi, retired firefighter.
Brief, I'm here. Yes, go ahead.
Greetings.
Go ahead, be in Toronto.
So sorry. Yes, I was. I'm happy to hear that those two disruptive clients are now off of your caseload, and it's unfortunate that your income has been impacted. I was just looking up some information. So from what I'm reading here, and forgive me if I'm still learning on this, but there's different types of leaves of absences that you can take. There's the mandatory and the voluntary, and that is so. In some cases, if it's in mandatory, if the your job is protected, in voluntary. There is no guarantee that your job would be protected, but in some instances it can be protected. So, for instance, if it's a situation such as an educational opportunity, then you can certainly review your policies and procedures and also ask for further interpretation of those policies and procedures with HR. If you are intending on going the route for leave of absence due to education. However, I also noted, based on what you've mentioned, that there is also, I guess, to alleviate stress, if I'm correct. So there is the Americans with Disabilities Act that can protect you, and disabilities isn't a bad thing. It could be short-term or long-term, and it includes mental health, which includes stress. So that can also be used to your advantage. So you can look into that as well. So look under, the acronym is ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, to see how you can use that to your advantage, and also follow up on your policies and procedures regarding leaves of absence to see if your job would still be protected, even if you're taking on an educational opportunity, so that at least for that information, you can make an informed decision as to what would be the best route for you. And I hope that everything works well. Thank you, and I leave the line.
thank you again.
Appreciate the suggestions. Be in Toronto. I did get disconnected briefly, but just briefly. If we have any other folks who have any expertise in the medical field, in fact, you could email untiljustice@gmail.com and just put medical advice or med school. Just put med school in the subject. Make it easy. Med school. That's easy. Med school. Put that in the subject, and I can forward along if you have any tips that would be helpful. I was going to ask if people think the Neutralizing Workplace Racism program is just for venting about racism, but then answered my own question right there, because this program for sure is not about venting. We are about solving problems and offering counter-racist based suggestions, really logic-based suggestions to help solve problems in the workplace without creating new problems. That is not venting. If other folks have either suggestions or their own situation, the number 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Just quickly to highlight what B in Toronto said, you would be amazed. Some of the different jobs and the resources that they have for employees that you wouldn't know about, that you would either have to read the policy and procedure and sometimes like the fine print detail, and or sometimes it's not even written down. Like you would have to go and ask somebody, or someone would have to tell you, oh, we have, you know, a $10,000 giveaway for, you know, someone who enrolls in med school while they're employed here. I mean, just crazy things that you wouldn't know about at all. Like, that might be a little bit of hyperbole, but sometimes not really. Like, it'll be all kinds of things, like job protections and extra benefits and resources, and they'll work with you about scheduling, like all kinds of things that are available. Sometimes I didn't find out about this stuff until, you know, some of my white colleagues were going to do some continuing ed, and like, oh wow, they have this amazing program and they'll do this for you and blah blah blah. Sometimes you just have to go ask. That's what we started the program off. Go and ask. Go and let people know what it is you're trying to do. If it is constructive, sometimes you can get all kinds of, because, I mean, really, sometimes all you need is one white person, and whammo, they can make all that happen, like, right now, in the next 5 minutes. So, hey, just have to see what type of assistance you can get. Speak up. Figure out the best way to present what you need, and verbalize. Were there other folks who had suggestions or content to share? We'll check in with the switchboard to make sure I hadn't missed folks either. Let's see. All right. Wow. Folks are getting there. Oh, wait a minute. We did. Sorry. It's 3784. 3784 should be with us as well.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for... Greetings. In regards to the leave, because her job is stressful, job protection would fall under if she's experiencing anxiety. Just make sure she's able to get in contact with her local psychiatrist or have someone to recommend psychiatrists. The psychiatrist that I saw, I found under the Black Psychiatry Directory. There is one out there. So once she's able to meet with the doctor is then able to, you know, listen, you know, to what's going on her job and how it's affecting her health, and will actually have medical documentation. So that is one way, as Dee in Toronto was saying, to protect her job. Thank you, and I'll meet my line.
Much obliged. Much obliged. Great suggestions. Being able to speak with a mental health professional, and man, the anxiety. I think that's a great wording too. The anxiety experienced in the workplace and how that is impacting your mental health. And documentation too. I think Dr. Kanban, I can give him another plug that he recommended with that. When you are getting all that anxiety and stress from the workplace, getting documentation, speaking with a mental health professional, and then documenting yourself when whatever happened the days that you were meeting with those clients, and you know whatever it is that they were saying, times, dates, how it impacted you, if you weren't able to sleep or it caused you anxiety after you left work, were you were distressed. You couldn't focus, you had difficulty concentrating, you had panic-induced attacks, or, whatever. But just document, writing all that out, and then you can share that, too, when you speak with a health professional as well. But I think that's sparkling advice. And, yeah, I would hope California, like, they have, California is not Washington State, so, yeah, they should have some black people that you should be able to talk to about that and document.
And, Gus, can I also add one more thing?
Be in Toronto.
Yes, pay attention to how the employers assist you in this whole process, and make sure that you document exactly what they tell you. If it's possible, if you can't take the notes right there when they speak to you, then take the notes as soon as you can to write down your recollection and who was present, because that way you're also protecting yourself by building a case that if the employers have not been assisting you through this process and you end up having to terminate your position due to the stress, then it can actually be evidence, built up evidence for constructive dismissal as well. So definitely also pay attention to how your employers treat you. Find out if you're getting any reprimands that you should not be getting. Find out if there's any comments that you're being given by the employers. If they're not supportive, make sure you document all of that to build your case as well. So to keep that in mind too. Thank you, and I leave the line.
Constructive follow-up. Much obliged. Be in Toronto. Again, if we have any other students, if you have any expertise, the med school app or exams, the MCAT coming up, and the prep for that, that is important, making sure that you have adequate time and no additional stress either, because I would not want to be like working a stressful job while you're trying to study and make sure that you can get the best scores possible, and then having people saying crazy racist things to you while you're at work and all of that. Like, I'd want that to be pretty tranquil time, You can be in your right frame of mind and feeling good going in to take that test. But if you have any other folks who have suggestions there, and or if you have your own situation to discuss, *61, feel free. Folks are getting their thoughts together. We should, again, be here. We'll be here tomorrow for normal compensatory call-in, but we should also be here for this coming Sunday. Christopher Everett, he did the documentary film Wilmington on Fire, came out just 2015, I believe. Excellent film. Would encourage folks to check it out, particularly given the recent comments, like last couple days, with the three white Wilmington officers who were terminated for their racist comments. We talked about that on the compensatory call-in, I believe, last Saturday. But Mr. Everett is still in North Carolina, informed about that incident, related it to his film. We will put all that in context this coming Sunday. White People with Guns, the theme of 2020. We'll chat it up this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Tune in. I guess we'll be on every day through the holiday weekend. So I would encourage hunkering down, not being outside for really any reason. I wouldn't be barbecuing at the park. I wouldn't be hanging out for the fireworks or anything else. I would be hunkering down. If your so-called family, attempted family that you live with or what have you, you can cook and, you know, have a good time amongst yourselves constructively over these few days, but it would not be any kicking it. I would not be inviting anyone over or hanging out, anything of that nature. I would not be joyriding or taking any trips either. I saw some of that where people said they were, you know, traveling here and yonder. I would not be at the beach or visiting relatives, hunkering down, too much zaniness. They've been letting off firecrackers for like 2 weeks already, so I'm sure they will be really cutting a fool this weekend. Plus, you'll have folks who are probably trying to compensate since they've been locked down for most of the year and try and really let loose this weekend. I am good on all of that. I am going to sit tight. I would recommend victims of white supremacy do the same, at least in the States, but we will be on the air every day. Give folks a little option as you are trying to stay safe and not blow anything or anybody up over the next, you know, 48 to 72 hours. Other folks have comments, suggestions to make sure they get in. Oh, let's see. Person who dialed in, I reckon you're on the Skype line, perhaps. Four Black Panthers should be with us.
Hello, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
So I actually needed clarification on the recent suggestion that was given to that was given to the student. I heard that they should consider possibly seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist. Would the logic be, would the intention be to seek treatment or to see a psychiatrist? That way you can document that you were experiencing anxiety due to workplace stress. I hope that question's not too long.
No. Clarification is important, I think. I believe it was the latter to get documentation that you have been caused all this anxiety from workplace mistreatment and such, but I don't want to make assumptions. The caller gave that recommendation. I believe she's still here. Did you want to clarify? Maybe still muted. Maybe not sure if she's still here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. Forgive me. May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, she's under stress. When you have a client that comes in and disrespects you, normally that causes stress. And I think that's the purpose of this program, if I'm not mistaken, to find resolutions in regards to dealing with the stress.
Right on. That's what I thought, the latter.
I mean, if there anything, yeah. Who would want to live like that? You have enough stresses in life, to be stressed at work. I'm not understanding his question.
May I respond?
Please.
Yes, sir.
You clarified the question. I just need a clarification. Thank you for that. I'll mute myself. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm muting myself.
I think it was just clarification. Like, I think sometimes people, well, I think, and I'm making an assessment here. I could be wrong. Assumptions are dangerous. But I think it was sometimes people, or frequently, most of the time, in fact, people recommend therapists or go see a counselor, and it's for treatment. It's not, this is for documentation, to evidence, to corroborate that, oh, wow, the mistreatment, excuse me, that you've experienced in the workplace, this has, you know, had an adverse impact on your health and well-being. And this is not just you, some nigger, saying it. This is a medical professional who's saying that, oh, wow, this impacted your health and well-being. Like, this is not just some gibberish or you whining in the workplace. That can have that can be a lot more persuasive than you just saying it. I think, yeah, that was the distinction. I think that may have been why he wanted clarification. I could be wrong, though. But I second it. I think that's a great recommendation. More documentation. And I guess if you get a good therapist, if you get a black person like Dr. Welsing, someone similar, not too many of them, but if you should, and they can also give some helpful remedies, tips on dealing with that anxiety, well then, bravo. That's, you know, their purpose for being in business, I thought. So, yeah, maybe you get the best of both worlds, but at minimum, the documentation. Let's see. Other folks, our Bay Area caller, and always, I encourage clarification. We should be giving out, you know, information that is logical, makes sense, people can understand. So no problem with getting clarification. Other folks who dialed in, our mom in the Bay Area, if you have questions, suggestions.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I would do as the other lady stated, as far as taking those the stress leaves, and especially now because they're having a little. They have to show public compassion for whatever going on with how they treat the blacks and the protesting. So that this might be a great time to be able to take some time off because they have a little more understanding. Oh, stress, sure. So try it at least if you like. And as for me, when you guys were giving me the suggestions last week about different things I could try to get a better mask or more comfort, so I was thinking about making some as a firefighter was talking, and then somebody suggested it. I said, oh, cool. So I ran into a lady that said she designs clothes and stuff, so she was making masks. So I knew her, so she gave me one. And so I just ordered some off her website as well, so I wouldn't pick them up today. So the one that she gave me was great. So it was softer, and you could breathe, and so it was... It wasn't very abrasive, so thank you guys for the suggestion. So when I do go back in and I have to, comply with just anywhere, but particularly, especially the grocery store stuff, because it's, I don't know, it's kind of, it's not as clean as maybe it should be with the pandemic, but I could wear that and feel more comfortable because it's not all, it's not hard on your ears nor your face.
So, thank you guys. And, yay. Love it. Take it serious. And, anything that promotes, health and well-being. Absolutely. Cause I'd heard from several, you're not the only one. That's been very common, where folks say it's irritating. They don't like wearing it, or they feel like it's stifling their nose, it's stifling their ability to breathe. Like, yeah, it might just be, you know, have to play around and find some that are a little more comfortable, or making your own, or having some cool friends who know a little bit about clothing and can, you know, hook it up and make some. But yeah, should be able to get one that's comfy and does the job, so you don't have to feel like you're being smothered while you're out in public. Because I think for some folks, I know, that is one reason why some people are, you know, not down for the compliance. They don't want to wear it and all the rest of it. So absolutely, if you can find something that's easy and will allow you to be a little bit safer when you go to the grocery store, and particularly on the job, like, man, I would not want to be around, like, children at all. But definitely have that mask on and take all the safety precautions necessary. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that that worked out. And hopefully, if there's anybody else in the listening audience, if you call in or listen to the archives or whatever it is, like I said, that's a lot of folks who's not comfortable do the same thing. Try out some different ones. You can make a mask yourself, like if it's too tight or whatever the, you know, issue is. Like, you should be able to find something that will work out for you. Let's see. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Other folks, if you are with us, if you have suggestions, your own situation, feel free.
Yeah, be heard.
Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. I would like to share some reports, observations. A lot has been going on these past couple of days. I have about seven of them. My first is when I went up to the administrative area on the top floor. Apparently, they've got some temperature read machines, some nice, snazzy technology. The white person upstairs was like, yeah, do you want to try it out? I said, sure. So gave me a temperature reading, said normal temperature. Had the green box show up and everything. Top-notch technology, it looks like. So these machines, apparently one's going to be downstairs in the or next to the back door entrance, and one is going to be placed at the front door. So they're going to have that along with available masks and gloves too, I believe, but definitely masks. So I was definitely comforted to see that being supplied when it comes to taking it serious, because I know our cases are going up. So I'm not sure if the chief judge is going to put out another administrative order on that, but we'll see in the coming weeks. My second one is I was sitting in the break room, like, so I had to think about this one again. I was speaking to my mother about something on the break, you know, not bothering anyone. So a judicial assistant, a victim, she walks in to get something from the vending machine. So as she is walking back past me again, she's saying, oh, well, you know, what gal are you lying to? What girl are you misleading? So, I just ignored her because I was talking on the phone. So sometimes, I don't know if anyone's experienced this, where you'll be having a phone conversation, and sometimes a person may make a comment like that. But it was kind of low in terms of the tone of it. But I thought about it, and obviously this person was trying to say that, I don't know if I'm some kind of a, you know, deceitful guy that misleads females or whatever, and I don't have the correct intentions when communicating with females. But that's how I had documented that one as well. My next one is there was a victim, a black female, that was mistreated in the lobby. And she was speaking to some security guards, deputies. So this person hasn't been on the job scheduled there for a while. And her name has similar letters in it that sound like coronavirus. Okay. So as she's interacting with these two, race soldiers, she walks away from one, and this guy, he says her name, and then he splits it, and then he says, "Ona virus." So she responds saying, haha, I guess I got a new name. That's how that exchange went. So I went on about my business. I said, huh, I'll have to document that one because I've heard him mention coronavirus before in terms like he was so-called joking or whatever. My fourth one is I helped solve a hostile exchange somewhat between a coworker and a black male customer. But I didn't find out that this was a black male just yet because the white female came up looking for copies, looking to be picked up by a customer in the drive-thru in his car. So we couldn't find it for about 5 to 10 minutes. So, you know, I stayed calm, and then she was saying, oh, well, you know, he's already got an attitude, and I'm just not with it today. So I'm like, okay, I wonder if she's talking about a black person. So, and I was about to go to lunch as well. So I go down the stairs to the drive-thru, and through the window, I could see that this is a black male person. All right, so two females were at the register. Might I add, both of them are in the clique. So they're talking with this guy, and he's understandably frustrated that he hasn't received his documents. He has a $10 bill in his hand. He's ready to pay for the copies. So they're unable to retrieve them or get them or whatever. So they're saying, yeah, okay, sir, we're trying to find your copies now. And I simply asked a question. I said, did the both of you look over here on the stack where it says paid and unpaid? And then they look over there. Oh, there it is right there. And they pull it out of the envelope and they give it to them. Problem solved. All right. And it was just a simple question. But they were already standing there next to the pile. So I guess they didn't know about it being there because I haven't really seen them at the drive-thru helping customers. So that was a problem that I helped solve right there. Number five is I had another coworker, another member of the clique. She says to another clique member about, you know, I'm seeing these social media posts about Karen, and I just wanted to, no, she said, I made a comment saying, all of this talk about Karens, I would just like to say that I know two Karens personally that I like. Can we talk about the Karens that we like? See, so this person didn't sound like this was of any burden to her as a white woman. So you could clown around or whatever, practice more racism. Because they were talking about the racist couple that were aiming guns at the protesters, all right? So they just mentioned that about the Karen part, and it didn't really go too much or too far after that. My sixth one is the black female victim in the area that I work, where there's the black side. She apparently has been missing a lot of days or calling in, so to speak. And there was some unjust networking being practiced on the white side. And they were talking at very loud volumes, saying that, hey, is she going to be in today? Because I don't know, you know, we need to make sure everyone's here. And the person that mainly started this wasn't even in charge of the area, but she's a white person. And two people are clique members this time. All right. So this person apparently talked to the black female on the phone and had asked her if she was coming in. So the black female said, well, if I am going to be able to come in, it'll have to be at noontime. So she's already talking about the black female victim's personal, you know, comments in her situation. All right. And the other clique member is saying, well, I didn't know if she's on the schedule or not. And then the third white woman says, well, it doesn't matter if it's confusing. You know you're supposed to be here. And the second person comes back in and says, well, the supervisor was talking about changing the schedule, and, you know, she named another white woman and says, well, she has three children, and what if she won't be able to come in, but you're able to accommodate the black person? So bringing in racism, they're always talking about racism in one way or another. All right, so these are the same girls that have the black female on the friend list. But this is the way that they're discussing her while she's not present. So she came in later that day, and it looked like all of them were very angry at each other. So I was just simply quiet. That was my response to that. I didn't even get in the middle of it because I saw it coming. But, you know, unfortunately, those kinds of conflicts are going to occur. My last one is another person that I speak with about workplace racism. She made a powerful observation. Three CLIC members in the break room where she was sitting made comments. The black male that is in charge, so-called in charge, in the civil area, he comes in and says to CLIC number one, hey, can you keep down your voice? Can you use your inside voice? First CLIC member says, no, you can't tell me what to do. I'm on lunch. Black male responds and says, hey, CLIC member number two, tell her what happens when you're on lunch and you're breaking policy. Second CLIC member responds saying, oh, well, I wasn't the one that got in trouble, so you can't ask me that. Third CLIC member says, oh, yeah, I was the one that got in trouble. And that person is darker skinned. So that I thought that was very powerful because the first two are white, third one isn't, because she threw the water. But, you know, the main one instigated everything. But that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Is the black female who had to take some time off, apparently this is a black mother that they're talking about, I would infer from the comments, but again, you know, assumptions and all. This is not the same black female who had the social media post with the dress. I know you mentioned that they like, but it can't be the same black female that they were liking her social mixture picture about the melanated summertime dress and all that. It's not the same female, is it?
Oh, yeah, the Juneteenth. Bingo.
Wow. That is so tacky. That is so tacky. Like, come on.
I saw it coming.
I can't do it. That's so tacky. That, again, I just said, you do not want to be social media pals with anybody on the job, even the non-white people. Like, unless you all went to, like, kindergarten together, then, like, oh, all right, maybe that's my, you know, homie, whatever. But, I mean, the rest of like, nah, I'm not cool with none of these folks, like, at all. That is so tacky. Now, they're going to be on your Facebook page. Oh, look at that. That's just beautiful. Juneteenth, that's beautiful. And then you need to take time off. You're a parent. If I could be wrong, I wasn't there. I'm just going by what I heard. You said CLIC members are sitting down. Now, Kathy has three children. What if she wants to take all this time off and they can't accommodate her, but they can accommodate this black one over here? Well, wait a minute. Now,
yeah.
She is a mom. It sounds like it might be a child thing. I think I've heard a whole lot of folks all over the world who said, man, I'm about to lose my mind. What am I going to do with my children? Their summer camps are closed, and they might not go back to school this year. And, oh, like, it has been a burden. And she, come on. That's the empathy that they're talking about right now. Maybe white people they're learning, they're realizing, and they empathize with the black. Not at all. That is so trifling. Like, man, they gonna, she's going to sit there on the social media and like, and then 5 seconds later, she's a no good, lazy, countless nigra. Wow. That's white people. That, I mean, if anything, that is an important reminder, because I think for a lot of us, you know, these white people, they can smile at us and chat it up, and if they're not saying anything overtly racist in front of us, and they're being relatively courteous, sometimes we can forget and think, oh man, Helen is all right, you know, she's, might have a few racist friends, but at least, you know, with me, Helen is all right. No, Helen is not all right. Like, that is so common. Be cool as they can be, and then as soon as you're not there, what do white people talk about when there's no non-white people present, or sometimes just when you are not present? Let's see. The non-white person as boss, it's always fascinating when you have a black person in charge and how white people respond to this in-charge Negro. They're out cackling and being loud at the lunch break. Now, again, this is the courthouse. I mean, I don't know. A lot of times it seems like we got Jerry Springer going on. They're throwing water on people and Elvis impersonations for the marriages. Like, what? So they're out cackling in the courthouse, and the black person in charge, hey, can we use our inside voices? Now, I thought that alone would cause problems. Like, who is this nigga coming up talking to me like I'm a child? Did he really is trying to come up and talk to us like we're in middle school? Nigga, we'll get you lynched in five. Like, I was already thinking, like, oh, this is going to be a problem. Like, nigga, you are not that. And that's exactly what the defiant clique members, that's what they, we are about, defiance. We're not wearing a mask. I'm cackling in the hallway, throwing water on people. Like, I said that is white women in general. The clique member, excellent illustration of the defiant white woman. That's why we got the Rona problem in the U.S. the way it is. That right there. I'm not wearing a mask. I got my gun. I don't need a mask. Probably not social distancing while this whole tacky exchange went on. But the moral, when he says, now apparently you can get in trouble. That's important too. You can get in trouble for your contact. For your conduct during lunch in the workplace. That to me would suggest, man, maybe I need to take my lunch in the car. Thank you for letting me know that. You could be reprimanded for what you're doing on lunch. Thank you. I'll eat in the car from now on or off site. But anyway, the only person who could step in to, oh man, yes, you can get in trouble for your lunchtime conduct, is the darkest member of the group. Mm-hmm. Very important for how we prosecute, because it seems like the clique members are committing transgressions all the time. Like, it would be easy to reprimand them anytime you want to for lots of different things, but only the dark person can speak up and say, oh, yes, I have gotten in trouble for my lunchtime behavior, which is kind of embarrassing. Like, how do you get in trouble for lunchtime behavior? Like, come on. Let's see. We got... and then the click, they're clowning with the Karens thing, which, you know, I've said I'm not an advocate of that. You know, we got enough inaccuracies and white people being able to be anonymous around their crimes, like call people by their correct names. But to bring that up, like, that's just racist clowning again. I mean, I'm going to break out in my Louis C.K. routine on the job. Like, you know, we got all this talk about these Karens. I got a really good Karen. She brings me apple pie. My grandmother's name is Karen. She's great. She's never called anyone nigger. I mean, come on. Now, again, I thought white people were ignorant about racism. That whole routine would depend on having some knowledge of racism, white supremacy. I have no idea what that has to do with business operations in the courthouse. Just going back to appropriate conduct, it seems like there's a lot of inappropriate conversation and conduct in the courthouse. Let's see. Inappropriateness and incompetent, and they have two white women at the desk collectively who cannot find where the forms are stored. Now, granted, you know, you said for, I guess, months now that, you know, you all got new procedures and shifting work schedules and all of that, so it's a fluid situation. People might be working places they normally don't work and that type of thing, so maybe they just didn't know, I guess. But, man, How many white people do we need to have up here for the desk to run efficiently? 5? 10? Like, man. And then, if the black male who's waiting for his copies, I got my buddy ready to roll and, you know, the click, they can't get it together here. Now, if he got upset and, you know, what is going on? I'm wasting my time, man. I got to stand up here. I might get germs from you all and blah, blah, blah. You know, are they going to be patient with him? We're sorry, sir. We're trying to get it together. The Rona has messed up our schedule. And, you know, sorry, we'll get Paige a copy and it's on us. We'll do better. Or are they going to be, these are the, you know, make America great again, folks. Are they going to get hostile and combative? Hey, we got security. Watch your tone, sir. Because I've seen that one happen more often, the latter, where they are not patient, where they are not, my fault for being incompetent, sir. You got every right to be upset and impatient. We will get it together. Maybe we need to get 4 people to come up here and work because we are kind of incompetent today. It's generally the latter.
We're getting close.
It's Florida. How can it not? This is the clique. It's not even just Florida. This is the clique that we're talking about. They brag about being gunned over. You think I'm going to sit up here and take lip from a coon under any circumstances? Like, you are mistaken. Like, that's all but black self-respect for diffusing with a question. Get his paperwork and get him on his way. Incompetent white people can cause a lot of problems. I will give them that. I generally say white people don't get the benefit of the doubt. If you say they don't normally work in this section, so maybe they didn't know, maybe they didn't. But I mean, wow, if it's right next to you. All righty. Calling the black female, I'll just make up one. We'll say her name is Corina. So, hey, Corina. Virus. That was a good one, Nate. That one, I've said this consistently because they do so much of that of not calling black people by their correct name, even with President Obama. That one, feel free to not say anything at all. That's the one. That one, you can practice whatever your look is. Bam, black self-respect, you could just look at them in the face, no smile. And then continue walking. That, you will have their attention. You don't have to giggle. You don't have to laugh. You don't have to curse. You don't have to say a word. Look. And keep walking. Not, I have a new name. I do not. And if I did have a new name, it for sure is not going to be anything associated with the coronavirus. I don't, and they have a pattern of that type of thing, making that sort of crude conduct with black people in the office, because they did the one that came in, oh, we got the COVID 32 over in the corner and the COVID 45 and all the rest of it. They had the bailiff fella that came out and was talking to the other black guards, and oh, no, don't go running around there, get the COVID once you get off. Well, see, that type of thing right there, like, it's just not going to be making jokes where we're associating COVID with black people in the office. That's not my name. I don't think that's anything we should be joking about. We got all these restrictions now because people are not taking this seriously, particularly if it's going to be just making fun of black people in the process. Like, but I would not respond. Any sort of manipulation calling me anything other than my name, no need to respond at all, and I for sure would make a report of that. Again, is this something that we should be joking about? You could even, particularly if you're in one of those tacky work environments where they have brought up racism, oh, man, you could go for, like, the grand slam and be like, he's joking about COVID-19, and on top of that, the impact that COVID-19 has had on black people, why would that be something to make fun of in switching my name around? Question and see how they respond. But oh yeah, at minimum, no need to respond to that at all. The comment, I'm so sad. I mean, anti-black. I can't say that I'm stunned. Anti-blackness is rampant. We've had a lot of callers who dialed in over the past month, at least, where it's been lots of squabbling with other black people, bickering with other black people about the protest or the virus or combination of, you know, that and other things. but lots of that. So I'm not surprised it would be that anyway. The system of white supremacy eviscerates our black self-respect and how we think about, treat other black people. That's what's modeled, you know, being crude and discourteous with other black people. But I mean, man, I'm on the phone talking to my mom. And to have another black person, like, walk up to me, talk about lunchtime violations. Like, man, I'm talking to my mom, and another black person walks up to me. What gal are you lying to? Like, what?
Gal.
What? Like, I guess that would be two in a row where you don't need to say anything, but I mean, wow. Like, what? The anti-black, like, curmudgeon all day long. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Judicial assistant.
Say it one more time.
A judicial assistant, too.
Come on.
In the court.
Come on. Come on. Come on. And that's another one. When you talk about anti-blackness. Now, if it had been a white person, your exact same position, your exact same salary, your exact same title. Everything is exactly the same. You've been working there the same 9 years, same record of everything. If you were a white man or a white woman, man, I will take that wager all day long. She would not have walked by. I don't care if she had went to kindergarten with you. She would not have walked by. And what gal are you lying to? I could be wrong. Maybe she would have. Maybe she says that to white people all the time that she's cool with. In my opinion, that type of just like total disrespect, like you don't know who I'm talking to at all, that this is a gal, and I'm a liar. Like it's just assumed I'm giving out bad information. Whoever this, and I mean with that context, like I'm sort of gigolo on the phone here. Like, man. Yeah. Man, minimize contact. Because, I mean, if a white person had said that sort of thing, I'd be like, man, woo, thank God I work on a job where I know you can get in trouble for your lunchtime conduct. Where is the report? I'm going to file it right now. Like, what in the world? Like, minimize contact, the anti-blackness, my goodness. Like, just because they are classified as black does not mean we are homies, cousins, brothers, sisters, partners, none of the above. We are not even friends. Man, that would have been a cursing out in some circles. My goodness. Rona or no, you would have been cursed out. It would have been two people that would have got in trouble for their lunchtime conduct. One of them for throwing water, the other one for cursing out a black person who allegedly called, referred to his phone conversation as a gal and something else, but he did not take it well. Man, that's... Anyway, I'm glad you handled it well and did not curse him out. Having a code for dealing with anti-blackness is very, very essential for the workplace. Much obliged, caller in Florida. Always a PhD study in white supremacy down at the courthouse. Wow. Any other folks have comments, suggestions they want to make sure that they get in before we wrap things up? We'll be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Any other comments, suggestions, problems? That is so terrible. All of that, white people are to blame for that, for sure. White people are to blame for all of that. But I have seen that. I don't know if other people, but that has been like my direct experience and my observation that black people will make those type of comments, victims of racism, will get really casual and make those type of comments with other black people in the workplace. I've just noted that. That would be something that I would have a code for to make sure that you don't just have like a reflexive response. So you could be codified there too. But that's even one you could put in the question lane. I heard Mr. Fuller talk about that, where he worked, same thing. Black people would come in and make those type of comments to other black people exclusively. And he said after, you know, some time where they'd said that type of thing to him, and would just say, hey, Ralph, I noticed when Mr. Sanders comes in, he'll be like the CEO or the executive. Mr. Sanders comes in, you don't call him a coon. You don't call him a meathead and all the rest of those names that you call us all day long, that you've called us for the last 5 years. In fact, what is that? Why is that? You don't do equal opportunity name calling and joking around? That's what you joke. That's how you show that you love us, right? That's what you say. But you don't love Mr. Sanders? Why don't you call him a coon and a meathead and everything else that you call us? Question lane. See, get back in the question. He said, I do the same thing. He said, I do this. That was Mr. Fuller. He said, I just do the same thing with victims. But he said, yeah, I would just ask. You know, I just noted that. And he said sometimes that would be enough to get them to pause. Like, yeah, I guess I don't call Mr. Sanders a coon or a meathead. I guess I do only do that with you all. Yeah, I guess maybe I will think. Not every time. Now, he says sometimes they just continue, you coon, shut up, and blah, 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 blah. But he did say sometimes it did get them to at least pause for a minute to think, like, dang, I don't call any of the white people here names. I just call the black people here names. Like, why is that? Should that be the kind? Now, there's another question. Should that be? Should it be that I'm only name calling the black people here and not the white people? The white people, Mr. Saunders, morning, how are you, sir? Why is that? Why don't I have that same sort of tone with the black people here?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that reminded me of an observation where I had to ask another victim to don't call me brother. And he, before that, was being very discourteous. And, you know, after that exchange, I said also, like, a week or two later, once again, a clique member comes in. I'm hungry. Who's going to make me breakfast? And the same guy walks in the morning time. Oh, you don't have any breakfast with me? Get out. He didn't have that same energy. His feelings was hurt. Okay? When she walked away, the other coworkers were justifying it, what she said. Oh, she just, you know, she usually gets food on the way here. She just forgot to get it, that's all. But he kept asking, like, why does she talk to me that way? She must be from Texas. Okay. And I stayed quiet the entire time. And that's all I wanted to say.
That's what I mean. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we should be discourteous to white people or anybody in the workplace. I think, you know, everybody should try to be courteous at all times, workplace and other. I think that would be the best. That's what I think of when I think of how a system of justice would be. Everybody is always courteous. Why would we not be courteous? Wouldn't have a reason to not be courteous. But if it's going to be a lot of hostility, name calling, joking around in the way that you talk to me, and all this is done in the guise of casual banter, even though I'm suspicious when that sort of thing is happening with a person who doesn't engage in that sort of conduct, like, I'm not, it doesn't sound like you're the type of person that's coming back and calling them, get out of here, you watermelon head, and rah, rah, rah. I'm not doing that. Like, this is not a mutually reciprocated type thing. This is a one-way avalanche of name-calling and jokes and all that type of thing. All right. But it should be equal opportunity, right? So if you're going to behave that way with me, and then this white woman comes in, and, hey, she's opened the door, right, because she's being discourteous, or at least joking around in a discourteous manner with you. Where's my food at? Get out of here. You didn't bring it in stomps. Why don't you? Look here, wench. Who are you talking to? Do you know my? That's what it's supposed to be, right? Equal opportunity. Like, hey, I talk to her the same. I talk to everybody the same way. What are you talking about? If that's not how it is, oh, man, come on. Come on, because I know you're not just waiting for the white people to leave, and then you're going to treat me the way that they treat us. I know that's not what we have here. Like, come on. We can do better than that. Like, we can do, it's 2020. We can do a lot better than that. And if we can't, that's what it should sound like. That would be my preference, really, even if we do get along well. Like, we still got the Rona. Like, let's just be quiet and get on the phone and do all that. Like, we should have a whole lot of silence going around. Mouth is closed. Get some work done. Now, mouth is closed. Now everybody will know where the filing is. If we have to go to another department, we won't be confused and take 30 minutes to find where paperwork is. But, yeah, that sort of anti-black, we talk about that all the time. Like, man, that is a core component. That is one of the central products of white supremacy, racism, anti-blackness, and just non-white people in general. Having that sort of discourtesy and animosity, hostility to other non-white people, because it's not just black people. You see that worldwide with non-white people. But I mean, woof. Expect the best you can do in the workplace. Not be surprised when it happens so that you don't just have a reflexive response and get upset or what have you. But then I also think, too, either, you know, getting it to where we can minimize contact and this person stops doing that, because I don't think incorrect treatment should be allowed, period, even from other non-white people, like getting that behavior stopped. But also I think, too, like, man, I encourage that. Hey, do you behave like this with everybody? White people are sitting down and they're on the telephone and you just, they're on the, I mean, even if you're not calling my mom a gal, even if you're not calling me a lying gigolo, I'm on the phone. If a white person, I would even venture, if a white teenager was visiting that courtroom, and they, wherever you were seated at, if you were seated in the, you know, break room, wherever, if a white teen who didn't work at that courthouse was just there as a visitor, and they were on the phone, would you come up and start interrupting their phone conversation for a joke? I'm not sure. Like, I have a question about that. Like, asking. Just getting people to think about that. Like, really? Is that how I behave? Like, do I have that little respect for other black people? Is it that the gulf in terms of how I treat white people and how I treat non-white people? Is it that large? Yes, I've concluded. Yes. Hands down. I don't have to think at all. Yes. It's astronomical. It's not a one-time thing. That's not allowing. That's all day long. White people are to blame for that, but that doesn't make it any better when I have a black person come by and call my mother a gal and accuse me of being some lying gigolo when I'm just trying to check it. A mom who I might not have even seen. That was in the news report that we started with today. I can't even go see my mom because we got the virus, so best I can do is text message and, you know, get a phone call in and hope that somebody doesn't come by and have some nasty names to call us while I'm chatting. Did any other folks comments they want to get in before we conclude? We'll assume folks are satisfied. Woof. Anti-blackness. That is why there's a reason, Dr. Wells, and she said that all the time. The system of white supremacy, it requires the annihilation of black self-respect. She used to say that all the time, this program and beyond. Black self-respect more powerful than a nuclear weapon. Black self-respect will stop that. There's a reason we conclude this program. Remind me to demonstrate maximum black self-respect every time I talk with, am in contact with, another black person. I'm going to be as courteous as I can be when I talk to that black person. I'm going to treat that black person the same way that I treat white people, the same way that I'm required to treat white people in the system of white supremacy. I don't go around here sassing and giving white people a whole lot of lip. I'm not going to wait and save up all my sassiness for when black people come around and dump it out. I mean, come on. That's as cowardly as it gets. And that's how we get trained to function in the system of racism. Like, you really want to be impressive, get sassy with white people. That is, you are doing something now. Incidentally, gal is in the word guide. I am a little too lazy to walk across the room to go get it, but I would bet a sizable amount of money on that as well, that I could flip to the G section in about 30 seconds, and gal is listed to not reference other non-white females as gals, and I think the reason that he gives explicitly is because that is exactly how racist, particularly racist crackers down in Florida got the pictures. That is exactly how race soldiers have referred to us for centuries. Boys and gals. That's how they talked about us. That's how they see us. Not men and women. Not universal man, universal woman. Not even close. Boys and gals. And that's how we see each other. Anywho. it is, I guess, so-called holiday weekend, although, as I said, the Rona has muted a whole lot of that, so, you know, I would recommend being in the house. It's kind of dangerous for many reasons. Armed white people, mostly, but dangerous for many reasons. I would recommend being in the house if you can watch the fireworks from your front porch and see that, too. It's still light here in Seattle. It's just 8 p.m. Pacific time, so it's still super bright out here. And they have got explosions going off that's supposed to be fireworks. You don't know if it's gunfire because they got all these armed whites as well. When you have those type of situations like a sporting event, New Year's Eve, so-called 4th of July, where you have lots of loud explosions, I feel like that's an environment that's extremely dangerous because you could have gunfire. And that would just get mixed in within all of that. Like, that's a great time. You want to go out and you got some shooting that you want to do. Oh, great time. That'll just get mixed in. We could do all that. And there's too many armed white people right now for me to feel comfortable with all that. So, all that to say, sobriety would be best. Under conditions of white terrorism, we need our brain computer working maximum efficiency, given our massive problems. Don't need any poisons to disrupt that process, our thinking. In addition to being sober, I don't really think we should be doing a whole lot of going out. We can be buckled up if you have to go out, but I mean, really, I would be in the house. It is not time for barbecuing. It is not time to be at the park. It is not time to be kicking it, hanging outside with relatives. I would be in the house. Lots of reasons. We don't need to go through the whole list, but I would be in the house. If you got to go out for, like, grocery store, I can't even say job, because a lot of that stuff should be closed down. I mean, I guess, you know, if we got some folks, if you are working, that's certainly. If you got to do something for your offspring, or should be, I mean, what are you doing? The post office is closed. If it's folks outside the states, I guess, but if you're in the states, not a whole lot to do. Things are closed because of the Rona. They're closed because of the holiday. So armed white people out in mass. Not really a time to be out and about. I'd be very strategic. If you have to go out to get something or do some errands, I would do that, and I would be back at the house. If anything looks awry, suspicious, if it looks like there could be a confrontation with a white person, that whole trip is canceled. This is not the time where you want to be out having skirmishes with white people. This is not something that you planned. This is just some random white person that's coming to squabble about paperwork or a parking space or something of that nature. This is done. I'm not getting into any sort of I'm not getting into any sort of dispute with some random white person for any reason. This whole, you know, adventure is canceled at this point. We'll try it again later. And call it a trip. It's just not worth taking the risk right now. It's too many incidents of armed. You'll see that tomorrow, compensatory call-in. It's about half of the audio segments will just be armed white people wreaking havoc. Anywho, the limited times that you're out, sober, buckled, if you are driving, you are not on the cell phone, doing the little things that we can to keep race soldiers away from us, and that is little, but I mean the little things that we can do. And as regards to the cell phone, we need maximum attention, being alert to what is happening around us, you really don't have time to be on the phone while you're driving. There should be ample sitting at home time to talk on the phone and do all the texting and catching up we need to do. If you're out in public, you should really be paying attention to what is happening around you. It is way too chaotic to be out and about and just acting like, oh, there's nothing to do, I'm just joyriding and talking to the dad. Is not what time it is right now at all, not even close. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, though it is hard sometimes. Remind us they are victims of white supremacy, no name calling. Remind us to be patient with ourselves. Help us to demonstrate maximum black self-respect every time we are in contact with another black person. No name calling. With that, replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cows signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.